gentlemen. Ladies and gentlemen. For what?
Welcome to Heavy Meta, your source for magic news, entertainment, and comedy.
I got this. Good evening, San Diego. I'm Ron Burgundy.
And I'm Matty Studios.
And I'm the MTGO Ferret.
And this is...
Hi, everybody. I'm Jack, and I hate everything.
I love it. You know what's fucking crazy? The guests never understand it. Listen, we brought you on, but you're not part of the intro. We will intro you.
No, it's almost funnier now that everybody started doing that. They're just all, what up? And me too.
This is no fault on our part because it takes us like a good 45 minutes to an hour and a half to run our guests through exactly what to do. And I don't know why they can't listen, but it's not like we just start the show.
It's because while you're running through like strict drills on what they're supposed to say and do, I'm like handing them booze and shots under the table.
I was about to say, yeah, we've got a little drinking game going under the table. How many times can I say no?
I think it has to do with the fact that by the time they sign the 150-page legal contract to come on Heavy Meta, that they're just exhausted. They're just like, fuck us. I'm Jack, bitches.
KYT's fault.
Yeah, we had to institute new rules, apparently, to bring people on. But so this is Heavy Meta, people. And yes, I'm back. Apologize.
Rose from the dead.
I have a hilarious story about that. But I'm back. Sorry about last week. We had to run the beta. I know a few of you were a little pissed off that we ran the beta, but hey, man.
Don't apologize for anything, Maddie.
Better than nothing.
Never apologize.
I look at it this way. You know, it's better than nothing, and it's like watching a rerun of your favorite show that was horribly done and never aired.
Well, because that one was like never actually aired, and we just had like some of our fucking followers from the beginning have heard it. But there was plenty of people out there that I'm sure hadn't heard it yet. So that worked.
Well, based on the comments, no one liked it. So we apologize.
Oh, God, yes.
Oh, wait, we have to base this off of comments? That means people only like us when...
It was hilarious. The last comment...
At this point, never read the fucking comments. Come on, guys.
The comments are the best. I mean, I like reading the comments because, actually, I'll be funny. Out of all the casts, the majority of the comments are good, and that's probably just because no one watches or listens to the show. But the majority of the comments are nice, but when we get those evil ones, man, those are awesome.
Oh, it's only because you usually like mispronounced a fucking card. That's what we get. Hey, you didn't say Corlash's heir to Blackblade name correctly. I blame your totally inept southern accent. Go back to school.
No, what is it? Because you're calling it plasma capture, not plasm?
That can.
So basically, as you know, we got Jack LaCroix, the one and only Jack LaCroix, on this episode because we figured that since we kind of took a week off, you know, that
we
if we come...
We give Jack some whiskey and get him all riled up.
Well, no. Actually, the truth is, you know, if we're coming back, we're going to come back hard and hot. And he's furious. I mean, I don't know what... I'm in the hospital, so I don't know what's going on, but apparently some shit happened.
Jack, I don't know how you let that hard and hot comment slip without fucking blasting into him.
This has single-handedly been the – like, I've been podcasting for 5 years now, and I've also been in the Magic community for probably 10. And the last 2 weeks – I know I say every fucking day, like, whatever somebody is doing is, like, the end of Magic, and I'm going to quit the community and, like, drop out of Twitter and shit. This has been the worst 2 weeks of my Magic life. My Magic life. Because I'm Harry fucking Potter. There we go. Yeah.
So was that Chris Lansdale who jizzed the scar in your face? And that's been...
Oh, no, no. And oh, God. Where do we even start on all this?
Okay. All right. Well, I'll tell you what. We will start with the biggest thing. And I know that, you know, we're a bit late to it because we missed last week. But we're going to start with, obviously, MTG Cast, for those that you don't know. And if you don't know, God, I don't know why we're your first news source.
What the hell rock are you under?
Yeah, exactly. So,
we've even got crap before that. I'm pissed that we didn't get to talk about the whole rules change bullshit because found out about it as soon as we finished casting last week. Motherfucker, we got to wait another week to talk about this.
Wait. All right. Well, but in all fairness, we really should start with that because I'm pretty goddamn pissed off about that, too.
Okay. We'll start with the rules. So, the legend rule, of course, has kicked in with planeswalkers. I'm gonna start right off the bat because, I was pissed that I was sick because I really wanted to talk about. And I personally, I don't understand that. You know, the whole point of calling the card a legend is that it's legendary. So the fact that if I can have a copy and you can have a copy and then I can bring another copy in and it doesn't die, in my opinion, is the biggest flavor fail in the world. Not only that, why would you destroy that? Like, it's fine. It's perfect. It works as this unique thing, just like Shroud did. You don't need to rewrite it. You could leave it alone. And if you want to make some other new thing called not as legendary, a creature type.
Yeah, not as legendary.
Fucking make 20 copies of that thing. Who cares?
No.
Make a card called Fall from Grace where a legendary creature is no longer a legendary creature.
Yes, exactly, right?
No. We can make it where it's blue and a colorless and it can be called Washout and it just removes the legendary card type. There we go.
Exactly. Washed up Rockstar.
we can make an interrupt. We could go way old school. We can make an interrupt that adds non and dash to any card, non legendary. So now you have a non legendary card. You know, but the real truth of it is, with creatures, I think it's semi passable. Like, okay, I could get over that. But planeswalkers, you have a Jace, I have a Jace. That's just complete utter fail. That to me, I have no understanding why this has been done. And in all honesty, I can't, I don't want to say Magic's failing, and I know we harp on it too much, but guys, be honest with yourselves. You made planeswalkers special, and now you're not making them special. And if you're catering to the new player because they're upset that their planeswalker is a kill spell for other planeswalkers, then that's dumbing down the game, and I don't like that. And I really fucking don't like that.
I understand catering to new players in certain directions because, they're a business, they want to bring in new players. I totally get that.
Yeah, but that's
to make
not
it
how
easier to understand, to something like that, but to dumb down the game that, that you have so that they can understand it, then they don't need to play the fucking game if they can't understand it.
See, this is the thing about this that nobody has brought up yet. It's not really catering to new players. They're going to be like, yay, now my dude doesn't die when my opponent plays another copy of that same dude. Yay, what's flavor? It's more like, I see where more experienced players, like ourselves here at this microphone right now, are going to be able to abuse this.
Okay,
so we're all bad at Magic, but still, there are going to be instances where you are going to be able to chain redundant, very malicious effects together.
Exactly.
With Planeswalkers, you could go, okay, Liliana of the Veil,
-2. Yep.
Yeah, Sackadoo, next turn, Liliana of the Dark Realms, though I don't know why you'd kill your Liliana of the Veil. Play her, ramp, and then, you could even, in regards to Commander, go up to the scrappy Liliana that had all the good art. We'll go with that one. But see, and this brings me to my own personal caveat with this. It's not even necessarily that this is going to make a swath of very played creatures that much harder to kill. I'm thinking of all the legendary hexproof guys that are giving us problems.
Fuck you, Gase.
Yeah,
let's not
even get in, guys.
Well,
no, I'm sorry. Wait, I got to jump in. Okay, Geistus, Ain't Traff, and Thrun were already problems. The fact that I don't understand why they do, you've now made Hexproof, and now you made something that makes Hexproof completely better. And it's on a ledge. That's just stupid. Do they fucking think about this? Or is it next year we're getting some other retarded, another dumbed down level to deal with this fuck up that we just made? What's the plan? What is the long term plan at Wizards? I want someone to come out. This is what I want. I want someone at Wizards. Hold on, wait. I want them to come out. I want them to tell me what is the long term goal of the game. Are you trying to turn Magic into Kijujo? Because if that's what you are, tell me now so I can save some fucking money. Because I really fucking hate
that. They hate you. That's what it is. They honestly hate you.
They hate the established player. That's been proven.
They're out for your blood, Matty.
No,
that's who put you in the hospital. It was the fucking
that was fire. He did. That fucker poisoned me. No, the truth is they want my money, but they don't care about my loyalty. They want the new players.
Well, that's absolutely true.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about that.
But anyways,
said that over and over. It's like, yeah, keep paying for the fucking cards. We don't give a shit whether you like the game or not. Just keep paying for the fucking cards. Yeah.
Now, here's the thing, Jack. So, like, obviously in Standard, the Legendary rule is meh. I don't really think it impacts very much. In Modern, maybe a little bit. You know, in Legacy, yeah, there's some major conflicts. But Commander, in my opinion, it literally, did they even test this? Because in Commander, it literally took the game to Commander, and it now said, you're fucked. It's a fucking mess. Okay.
I'm ready to flip out, but let me say a few more things before I go completely off the goddamn rails. All right, within Standard, I think the primary creatures that you're going to have problems with are going to be gone in a couple of months anyways. So you're going to have a few problematic...
Jack, you're totally not thinking of Theros. That is going to be entirely legendary themed. It's all coming, dude.
Let me talk. Okay. No. I agree. That's one of my theories on it. But the thing is, I think within Standard, especially since they came out when these rules changed happens and said that they were not interested in pursuing Hexproof as a keyword, I think that gives some indication where we're going to have less problematic legendary creatures like that. So that doesn't bother me as much. I mean, that's complete, like, conspiracy-level bullshit there on my end, okay? I also think the best thing that can be said about this rules change in regards to Commander, outside of all the negative things I'm about to say, is that this actually makes it where it's okay to have mirror matches. Because, like, in Commander, there never was an official statement made on if your opponent has the same commander. And a lot of leagues, how they set it up was where you had to register the commander first if you wanted to play it for that season or however long they were doing it, right? So, like, if you went to your local game store and let's say I play Shroom and somebody else already had Shroom, I couldn't play that deck. I couldn't play my favorite.
Really? Yeah.
That's how a lot of game stores do it. Now, most places where you
go
to
That's how you get Jack LaCroix showing up to a game store with a handgun freaking out on people. I can't play Shroom! You're all going to die! Which one are you? Which one of you guys is playing Shroom?
I'm not mad. I just want to know which one of you is fucking her. Like, come on, just come forward.
Just want to know who's fucking Shroom. Starts breaking down in tears. Fucking...
So, all right, so that effectually makes it to where mirror matches are okay. Like, that was a thing that happened commonly at GPs and commander pools and stuff anyways. But, like, that was something you really had to, like, work out as a local play group. And in a sense, you know, that was cool because it gave you this level of democracy where you could build with your play group. But at the same time, it's good to never have that hassle again. Okay, because everybody wants to play, like, their special general, right? So whatever. Yay, everybody gets to play the special shit. But in regards to how this actually affects the format playing out, I know Sheldon Mennery has already come out and said, you know, hey, I think these changes are good. And he wrote a very good article in defense of the legendary rules change on Star City Games. And Sheldon is a person I respect mostly. I will say that. And I'm also scared of because he's built like a fucking brick shit house. But like
So what was his point? Why did he say it was good? Because I think he works for Wizards. I'm sorry, yeah. Sheldon.
It basically was like, you know, hey, guys, this is going to make it where you're going to have more interesting answers than just clone. You know, clone was never meant to be abused that way. Basically, it was everything that Wizards said, but it came from Sheldon, so I respected it more. Like, that sounds horrible to say.
Okay,
that.
Well, here's the thing. I'm cool with it for the creatures. Actually, not entirely cool, but I'm cool with it enough. It's when you get the Planeswalkers... Could you imagine, like, four people all having fucking, I'll just say, the old Sorin down? Oh, you're at 10 life.
That sounds like a really fun board state once.
Well, okay. Yay! Because Planeswalkers, in my opinion, aren't of the most immediate concern. The fact that you cannot kill some hexproof general such as, what's his name? The big...
Mistwalker.
The Mistwalker. You can't kill the Mistwalker or other people's generals with clones anymore, even if clone was not meant to be used that way, that's really fucking bad in a lot of cases, because in some decks, that was the only way you could stop that person immediately. Progenitus is a really good example.
How the fuck do you kill that thing now?
He has protection from the legendary rules, so you just, like, you smack the person and light their fucking deck on fire. that's probably the most effective person to do. Honestly, like,
Jack, I'm glad to see that you've been listening to our podcast and learning from me.
Dude, no, I actually have a story about somebody lighting a deck on fire. I'll get to that in a minute.
Yeah. But, like, oh my god.
Yeah, where this is even more concerning, though, is, like, with come-into-play effects. Like, let's take Kakusho. That's the example I've been using a lot of. Let's say you have Kakusho. Yeah, and you Phantasmal Image that, and then you can stack and do 10 damage. But then you have things like Progenitor Mimic, where you can put redundant copies into play at the start of another.
Oh, shit. What about Followed Footsteps? Or even, what's that other clone spell where you kicker it? Like
Rite of Replication. Yeah.
So basically, you could just keep sacking them. Oh my god, that's brutal, dude.
Here's the worst thing about that. Doesn't Kiki Jiki come in there too? Can't Kiki Jiki keep making fucking copies?
Kiki Jiki can make copies of himself effectively and do shenanigans there. But like, where? Go ahead, Pharaoh.
I thought Kiki can only target non-legendary.
Yeah. There we go. Okay.
Oh, okay.
Oh, he's got a fair.
No, what I was going to say is, let's just use Progenitor Mimic with any of the Kamigawa dragons. You know? You end up getting that effect every single turn.
Yeah, but that's not even that degenerate. Like, the real thing is, like, with the Rite of Replication, that's insta win. Like, there's a million things you could do. You just keep killing people.
But what I was talking about, the difference here is instead of being, like, necessarily an instant win, for like Rite of Replication, and then you could do something like the White Dragon, where you just keep people tapped down for it. Was the white one?
Just say tap people down, and if you even want to be on color, using Kega the Tide Star or the Green Dragon, I don't remember his name. Those are still going to give you tremendous advantages if you stack those effects, and that's horrible to me. Just again, in my own personal opinion. I don't see how this is going to be any better than being able to kill a legend with a clone. Because to me, like, you know, you try to get up to something degenerate like that, I have that clone in my hand that's an answer. And that's what a lot of this format is based around, whether people want to admit it or not. No, and now we have a whole swath of answers that we simply do not have access to because of rules change. So overall, while I think in some sense this is going to do a lot of good of encouraging people to come to the format because depending on your playgroup, you would either feel like you had to play blue, so you had the clone effects to deal with this, or you would have to, you know, always have that lingering problem going on if you were playing a certain general. I think this is actually going to be abused a lot more than people realize it, and overall, I feel like the rules change are probably for the worse, even if it does support the total conspiracy theory that Theros is going to be a legendary block. Like, that is the
Nope, I'm calling it right now. They're going to come up with a new fucking type that does the same thing legendary used to, but it's not called legendary, and it'll have in the rules text. Like, call it champions or some stupid shit like that. And, like, you can't have two Hercules on the board because champions can't be on the board at the same time.
Well, okay. If they pulled that was I would literally just call Mero and be like, I'm out. I'm fucking out. This is the dumbest shit I've ever heard, man. I'm fucking out.
That's it. I'm going to play Hex.
And then we have a new thing called Planeswalkers Ultimate, and they're Planeswalkers that can't be copied.
They're Ultimate Planeswalkers. If you guys want to play the old way, you have to buy all these Theros cards.
You have to rebuy all your cards on CD. Yeah. They're not on tape anymore. Yeah, oops.
It's Jace Ultra Planeswalker. Now those are different.
Fuck. No, I think though that they are absolutely gonna do a leveling type of card where, you know, humans are heroes, but then you level them up and up to legendary status. I absolutely
and a god and fucking
yeah, and to a god. Yeah, exactly.
Well, that's right? They already have leveling mechanics out.
Yeah, exactly. So it's familiar to the player base. I guarantee you, I think that's what's gonna happen. But anyway,
I think that's what's gonna happen.
What is the leveling mechanic going to be in a freaking, like, Grecian, Roman mythology block? Is it going to be, like, have an orgy, you know, like, kiss the man next to you?
That's right. You're a pet.
It's called Sodom and Gomorrah.
Yeah, no. Here's how it goes. So you're a 1/1 human farmer, and then when you level them up, then you're like a hero, and then you level them up again, and you sodomize like a whole like male on male Greek or Roman orgy, and then you're like this god of perversion for anal sex. This would be awesome.
I think it sounds good. I think it sounds like a solid theory.
Yeah. Oh no, it's better. Like the expand upon this theory.
Ages 13 and up.
Yes.
I don't think I've drank enough for it to sound solid yet, but I'll get there eventually, I'm sure.
Okay, like, to reach the ultimate on a Theros Planeswalker, you're going to have to use some political subterfuge to secure yourself a seat of absolute power by killing all of your cousins and your father.
Yes. There we go. Kill target human father.
Game day champion, baby. I got my list off.
I guess that's what we think of legendary stuff. So I don't think it's too high on our list of like good things that have happened to the game. Well, no, I mean, we all care about it. Like, I'm very curious to see what's going to happen with the rules changes, but...
Honestly, it's going to be just like, you know, I wasn't around back when... Like, I remember fucking hearing everybody talk about, like, when the whole damage on the stack thing changed, and holy fuck, it's a whole different story now. And, like, to me, like, not being around for that, like, obviously... Magic has fucking moved on and everybody still fucking plays it. I'm sure there was a couple people that were like, damage doesn't go on the stack anymore. I'm fucking out. I'm going to play Kaijudo. And they're like, Kaijudo masters now?
I don't think we had Kaijudo back then, but anyway.
But, no, like, when that shit changed, I mean, like, from what I've heard, like, everybody was fucking freaking out about it as a big fucking uproar. And then people went, oh, well, this is how it works now. Fuck it. And that's the same thing, like,
So, Kevy, like, here's the thing. I played back when Mana Burn existed and Damage on the Stack, and I hated that shit. When it changed, when I came back at Zendikar, I was like, oh my god, mana doesn't burn you anymore? I was like, this is fucking sick. No, because it makes sense. Why would it hurt you? And then Damage on the Stack, in all honesty, it makes a lot more sense functionally-wise and calculation-wise now when you do things. Right. But Legendary, like... It's named Legendary. If you look up the name Legendary in the dictionary, it means one of. Like, I don't know. To me, that's wrong. It's just wrong from a flavor standpoint.
I definitely agree. I'm just saying that these rules are instituted, we're going to go through it for a few months and be like, oh, this is fucking weird. Oh, well, you know, and people start learning new fucking ways to abuse it or to work around it or to use it, like... on the opposite end of the coin to their advantage, and like it'll become a natural part of the fucking game, and everybody will be used to it again.
Yeah, I mean, am I going to quit Magic because of it? No. Do I like it? Nah, I'll get used to it. Whatever.
No, but there are certain cards that have gotten a tremendous advantage because of this rules change, and I don't think that's fair at all. Like Mox Opal, for instance. Mox Opal has become Lotus Petal. Like,
Jack, okay. Ridiculous.
No, okay, we're going to fuck out.
No. The straight up thing is the people that are testing already, because Mox Opal jumped $10 in paper to like what $46 or something. It's like 40 or 38 tickets on MTGO.
I have to get a hold of the foil one. I don't even want to fucking think about it.
No, don't even look at it. Actually, fuck. I think I gave my foil one to Proxy Guy. Oops. Anyways, fuck. Give it back, Proxy. No, yeah, I'm just kidding. Yeah, Mox
Opal 35.70 on MTGO.
Yeah. So here's the thing. Reading a bunch of the articles on, like, because as soon as the legendary rule changed, I went and, you know, was doing some real research on, is there anything abusable? Is there anything that will spike? And everyone that tested Mox Opal initially was like, this is going to be amazing. And then, like, oh, it's not that good. It's just one more mana. And the truth is, in robots, that one extra mana doesn't make or break the game on turn 3 or 4. So it's like, big fucking deal. And the truth is, everything costs zero.
That you do that with.
I don't know. The ones that I was in Modern, maybe in Legacy, but in Modern, it was like, meh. It was like, yeah, it's nice. Like, it's good that you don't have dead draws in your hand, but it's not, like, gonna change the fucking deck. You know, right. So I don't see that one being, like, completely broken. In all honesty. Okay.
I totally don't understand that at all. I'm sitting here trying to follow you, and I was like, I don't even know what the fuck he's talking about.
So basically, Mox Opal is a zero casting cost artifact that comes into play, and it gives you one mana of any color if you have three other artifacts. So the whole point is, if you had two in your hand, then you can play one, and the other one is a dead card in your hand, because you can never put it in. Now, you could put it in, sacrifice the other one if it's tapped, and get an extra mana that turn. So it's like a Lotus Petal, right? It's like a free zero casting cost, one extra mana, but it doesn't break
much.
So it's not like evil. The real one in Modern, and that is, like we were saying, like the copy effects, like Crackling Counterpart and stuff like that, that you can instantly abuse a legendary creature. Those are very complicated to understand.
Well, wait, when it comes Theros, you have to say instantly sodomize a legendary creature.
No, I will not. I will not. I will not go there. But anyways, I think that's pretty much fucking it for the legendary thing. There's not much else to say.
Okay, here's a legendary one that to get for you.
Yep.
Jet.
Yeah,
Jet. Who the fuck wants to have Jet on Jet?
Are you
actually
talking
on the table?
Like Jet? Are you talking about like the Black magazine, like the Ebony magazine, Jet?
No, he's talking.
Wow. No. All right, wait. No, let me relate this. Okay, so you have Samuel L. Jackson in play, right? And your opponent plays Samuel L. Jackson on a plane, and they both get Umezawa's Jitte.
Yes.
Right.
Do you want to be in that situation? I don't.
Fuck basically, no. If you, not if there's snakes.
Yeah, if you're a snake, you're fucking dead. Motherfucker. No, that's – I mean, in all honesty, we'll have to see what happens with – I mean, we'll have to see. I mean, is this something people are going to abuse, or are they just going to forget about it? I don't know. But there was much bigger rumblings apparently that happened in the world. So basically before we get into that, I'll tell a quick little breather story.
Wait, what? Okay, if you're going to tell a breather story in between, but you got to let me know before we get to that point.
Oh, it leads right into it, so it's humorous.
All right. Well then, before we do that, Jack, whiskey shot.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh yeah, I'm going to that.
So I'll basically tell. So everyone wondered, like, what the hell happened to me in that? So it's kind of humorous. So I got food poisoning. I don't know, still don't know what the fuck I got it from. But anyways, so I got food poisoning, and I've been sick before, but I was fucking dying, like shitting, throwing up, like nonstop. It was fucking horrible, right?
Well, I can say, like when you said, like you sent me a message and said, not going to be able to fucking make the cast tonight.
Yeah.
I'm that sick. I was like, what the fuck? Like, how are you fucking sending me a message right now? Because Manny doesn't miss this for shit. Yeah, for those of you that don't know, those of you that haven't been on this show before, like, yeah. I get zapped in my shock collar and so does Ferret. If we're not here at fucking on the dot, like, time to go. This motherfucker does not miss his podcast for anything. Holocaust doesn't matter. Fucking Armageddon, don't give a shit. We're podcasting.
Yes. It's true. I'm a bit dedicated. But, yeah, I was really sick. So I called the doctor, and he's like, wow, that sounds like food poisoning. He goes, well, you should be better in 3 hours. He goes, if you don't feel marginally better in 3 hours, you should go right to the hospital. So I'm like, okay. So, you know, I didn't feel better, and it was in the middle of the night. I'm like, fuck up. Maybe I'll just sleep it off. So obviously I woke up in the morning, and I'm like, I'm about to die. So I went to the hospital. So I walk in the hospital, and I'm like, I look like a zombie, I guess, for The Walking Dead, because you know when you walk into a waiting room and there's like 30 people in there?
I need health care. Oh, get away from me.
No. The funny, I walk up to the desk, and the lady's like, so what's wrong with you? And I literally just look at her. And I'm like, I'm about to throw up in the window, like right into the window, right? And the lady's like, are you serious? And I'm like, bleh. I'm like, yeah, you better fucking get me out of here. And so she's like, all right, everybody, this guy's really sick. And they put me right in. So the doctor comes and sees me, and he's like, immediately puts me on an IV and all this shit, and they do all these tests. So basically I passed out, right? And they fucking comes back to me, wakes me up, eh? And he's like, you know, didn't I tell you to come in 3 hours? And I'm like, yeah, but it was the middle of the night, and, you know, I didn't want to wake the kids or anything. Or he's like, well, you know, you could have died if you didn't come. He goes, like, literally, if you had waited another couple hours, you'd be dead. You have, like, a stomach, like,
fucking ridiculous.
Yeah, so they have me on these insane super antibiotics that are, like, making me loopy. And this is what I said to the doctor. This is the funniest thing. You know I love magic. When he's like, you know, you could have died. And I'm like, bring. I go, I got on dying, bitch. And the doctor, swear to God, he looks at me undying.
Literally, fucking Maddie has said that to me before.
I have. That's
I'm dying, bitch.
I got a dying bitch. I come back stronger. And he literally is like, what? He goes, are you hallucinating? Like, what? And he's like, nurse, what did you put in this guy's IV, right? So he basically gets me up. Anyway, so they sent me home, and it was fucking on antibiotics for 5 days. But, yeah, I'm back. I'm solid. But I thought that was hilarious that my first response totally cracked
out. I'm
a dying bitch. Ding. Just like, what?
He's got the upside down bottle of Kraken hanging from his IV.
What the fuck are they IVing, man? So thank you all for all your wishes and concern, everybody. Heavy Meta, you guys are a totally fucking awesome community.
Hey, and thank you for not dying, Maddie.
Hey, I got undying, bitch. I gotta get that on a shirt.
If you weren't here right now, who would I be bitching incessantly about my life to?
There you go.
Probably Twitter, but that's beside the point.
Oh, and speaking of, you said something about a t-shirt, Maddie. I, like, earlier today while I was at work, after I got, like, VIP status, I thought, I've got this great idea for a t-shirt that I need to fucking make, whether I have to make it myself, but I'm gonna wear it in Vegas, that just says, I owe Maddie Studios my butthole for this weekend in Vegas. Don't ruin it.
Listen. That is a cool shirt. But I don't really want to be in Vegas at the same time you're wearing that shirt.
You're afraid you'll run into the dragon.
It's just got an arrow on the back pointing towards fucking, you know, pointing off to the left. Hopefully you're working. And it's all, this is Maddie Studios.
Oh, fuck. I don't. You know what? I don't want the SEO Google search engines finding that one. So apparently some shit blew up on just before I got sick with MTG Cast. And if anyone knows... Obviously, you probably know. Yeah, well, we got to go there, Jack. You're on here, and you were the one that was reacting the most vehemently, so we got to talk about it. So,
I don't know if vehemently is the correct word, violently.
Well, I'll give the setup, and then I want Jack to explain what his views are. But the setup is, you know, MTG Cast, I guess they needed money, like any site who has a bunch of, you know, content on it, wants to leverage that content to generate income from it, which I have no problem with at all. They chose a sponsor, which I believe was the wrong sponsor to choose. In my honest opinion, if they had put a 30-second commercial for Axe body spray, I don't think anyone would have cared. Marshall wouldn't have cared. I wouldn't have cared. In fact, I don't think anyone would have cared. If it was for liquor, I don't think anyone would have cared. Hell, you know what? If it was for, I don't know, anything but Quiet Speculation, I don't think anyone would have cared. The problem is, and I think this is where everyone has failed, is that, you know, they need to make money to pay for servers. No one has a problem with that. Every casual person, and in fact, most people that play for the game for the love of the game, hate Quiet Speculation because they only encourage profiteering. And that is not what the most many casual players want. They don't want it. And when I first heard there was an ad, I wasn't upset that there was an ad in front of Heavy Meta. What I was upset about is that it was Quiet Speculation that was running the ad, because I hate Quiet Speculation. I don't like that. That's not – like, I made this show, and this Heavy Meta does not support that. That's not what we want. So it's kind of insulting that, you know, before our show starts this. So it would be like, for instance –
Hey, and Maddie, to tack on though, there was also Section 13 of their Terms of Service.
Yes, unfortunately
– which they did change that though, so we're good. Yeah.
Okay, so basically Jack kind of got, I don't know, attacked by the internet shit trolls.
Oh, it wasn't just me, though. Like,
Jack
it wasn't
got
just
raped
me.
By the internet.
The internet basically went in Jack's bedroom and ripped his pants off and just raped him.
No, dude. Like, I'm telling you, it's bad. Well, first of all, before I go any further, I'm only stating this for the official capacity so Chewy won't rip me an asshole along with the internet. Everything I'm about to say is my own opinion, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, whatever. All right, so it wasn't just
me
that
actually... I think that goes by, like, that'll, like, fly in a court of law, that disclaimer right there.
the Booze Cube lawyer, he stamped that. He says that's good.
Yep.
All right, now go on, Jack. Tell us your side of this.
All right, so basically, like a lot of you, I actually was pretty surprised that we had ads at the start of the podcast, because I woke up one morning, I go on the MTG Cast host chat, and I notice you have Mr. Spruik, who does Bump in the Night, being like, hey, there's an ad at the start of my podcast. Like, is there any way I can actually remove this, yada, yada. All right, so here is the thing. This was a shocker to me, too. So I went and I listened to the ad, and I was just like, whatever, because I'll... About 8 months ago, Otwell sent out an email saying, hey, you know, guys, here's an update to our terms of service. You need to read it. And much like any end user license agreement or any update to any kind of terms of service, people were just like, I'll click yes, leave me alone, right?
Haven't you seen that episode of South Park? You're not supposed to do that shit or you'll end up in a fucking human centipede.
Pretty much. Okay, so... in the terms of service, there was something that stated, in not so many words as I'm about to use, hey, at some point we may have to use ads, so we reserve the right to, solicit advertisements to whomever wishes to come to us, or something like that, okay? Something which is the equivalent of that. And if you sit there and you actually think about it, MTG Cast is providing the service to the community. We are not making any kind of profit off of anybody, as I can attest to, okay? And there comes a point where we had to start generating revenue or the network was going to cease to exist, quite literally. And that was going to happen a lot sooner than people thought it was. So basically, Otwell just kind of, he pulled the trigger because he had to. All right. And here's something a lot of people need to realize. And I'm saying this as somebody that's like kind of talked to and worked with Otwell over the last 5 years. Chris is a very like good, decent guy. Okay. Like he really is. But Chris is not always the best person when it comes to communicating things Chris wants to do or, like, specifically with things having to do with the network. Like, you guys might remember, I actually took over as the primary host of Monday Night Magic when Tom first went on hiatus. It was probably about 2 to 3 weeks before Otwell got to me and said that he wanted, you know, Chewy to be the primary host, which was fine by me. Because, like, I'm passionate about Eminem or whatever, but it's not something I can float on my own. And it was the same instance there. Chris just came out and he said, you know, I don't know if I could carry the show on my own because I'm not necessarily the best at communicating my ideas and things like that. And it's that same thing exemplified here. Chris just pulled the trigger. He didn't necessarily tell anybody, but he had sent out the email about the terms of service. So problem one, we have some miscommunication, some unclear communication, and just no communication coming from what would be the administrative staff at AGCast.
Well, the real thing is there's no warning. So, like, if you're ever going to change the status quo of anything, like, this comes to me all the time in terms of what I do sometimes, where in marketing and that, the number one thing you do before you make your change is you communicate that, hey, this is going to happen. And you can't do it in a thing like, hey, read the terms of service. It has to be like,
yeah,
you know what? We're thinking about running ads. Yeah. Like, you know, and especially what I feel that the biggest thing that wasn't communicated was that even though these people that submit, anyone can submit to MTGcast, and maybe the quality varies on MTGcast from complete garbage to great. I don't know. But the truth is they all make content and those people are putting their time into it. And you shouldn't just treat it as like it's a commodity that you own. It's like, hey, those people made those shows and you should treat them with a little respect and say, hey, we're about to put an ad in front of your show. I know you may not like it. And I'll tell you, if I had gotten an email that said, Matt, Heavy Met is about to get a Quiet Speculation ad, do you want to talk to me about it before I do it? I guarantee you nothing. I would have said, oh, really? Oh, why? Oh, you need to make money? Man, I really hate Quiet Speculation, but I get it. And there would have been no issue. But like, to just drop it on someone with nothing, I think got everyone's back up and they feel like, what the fuck? Like, MTGcast is this community that I think a lot of people don't realize that – is this place where all this amazing MTG content is, and it has some value, and Otwell does a great job, and everyone, Chewy and all those guys, they're doing awesome work there. It's just, you know, it's not something for – a lot of people have the misassumption that – go on.
Another issue too that – well, the issue that comes up with that is the fact that, like, in this podcast community, like, there are – you know, people that just kind of do a podcast, throw it up on MTGcast, it's not a big deal. But then there are others that, you know, they do have – they're affiliated with people, whether it be sponsors or the site that they're hosted on, whatever. And, like, if that's a conflict of interest with Quiet Speculation or – well, I mean, not really with this ad situation, not with anybody else other than Quiet Speculation. But say, you know, Quiet Speculation didn't fucking pay for the ad. And, you know, you had, say, Mana Deprived paid for an ad before, just for example, paid for an ad before every single fucking podcast. Well, great. We're going to love it because fucking Mana Deprived is the site that we're on. We're on that team. That's great. But you know what? If, like, a competitor of Mana Deprived is sponsoring another podcast, yet sure, there's a Mana Deprived ad it. In front of it, they're not going to be happy about it. You know,
right.
So it's like that's the huge fucking thing. And that's why, like what you were saying earlier, Maddie, about like if it were like Axe Body Spray or some shit like that, as long as another podcast isn't, you know, sponsored by a different deodorant company.
Yeah. You know what? In all honesty, I think you could even have another like legit could sponsor an ad. I don't think many people would get that upset. It has to do with if I made an ad and it was called Card Sharks R Us, we hate Magic players. We want to take your money. Fuck you. Fuck you and your game. Just pay just pay us all your money. And here, hey, anyone who wants to fuck Magic players, come to this site and we'll teach you how to fuck them. That's the thing. That's what I got. I'm sorry.
Do they proudly sponsor Magic the Gathering? Fuck you. We do what we want. Like, is that their targeted tournament? They have
every year. See, I'm just mad that we didn't make an ad that says whatever you're about to listen to, it's bullshit. ManaPrime.com/heavymeta. Come over here. Hurry before it's too late.
My first reaction was like, I was going to call Otwell and be like, hey, can I buy an entire year of ads? And then I was just going to put a Heavy Meta ad in front of everything where we just say, this podcast sucks shit. You should listen to Heavy Meta. So everyone who has to listen to the cast has to be told their shit is garbage. Well, like,
that's garbage.
That's so horrible.
In truth, what I think would like what it would have been fine. You know what? Okay, fine. The quiet speculation ad is one thing, but if they were using like a rotation of ads, if there's a quiet speculation ad, there's a fucking Gathering Magic ad, there's a fucking just a straight up ad from Wizards of the Coast, and then you know what? If the rotation of ads ends up being like, oh, well, we kind of had a competitor's ad in front of us, and that kind of sucked that one time. Yeah, okay, fine. But if you've got a rotation of commercials, basically, that are just randomly playing in front of the episodes, that's one thing. But when you have, like, quiet speculation is in front of everybody's podcast, I think that's why I think people have such an issue with it.
Well, and you both illustrate two other points that were very key. Like, you have many podcasts that are hosted by a separate website, which could create an obvious conflict of interest between that sponsor and MTGCast and the podcast, right? And then the other thing is there, it's not even necessarily that it was quiet speculation so much as at MTGCast especially, and I'm going to sound so cheesy saying this, we like to give off the impression that we're a big family. Okay, and I honestly feel that way. And again, this is going to sound cheesy, but I would not be the person and the man I am today if it wasn't for MTGCast, because MTGCast has been one of the few places I've been able to not even like work with or like be a part of, but like belong to, where I feel like I actually had some friends and I felt like people had my back. And it's this very kind of bro-y get together, everybody create cool content and make an awesome website atmosphere that a lot of people take very dearly. And that happens a lot. And that happens a lot. And so what happened was when we dumped these ads on people, I don't even like saying dumped because they were notified, just not necessarily that was communicated in the best way.
So Jack, from a person who checks MTGCast every day, it was dumped. All of a sudden, one day, I'm like, what the fuck is this ad? So from the perspective of the average listener, it was like, one day, the world changed. And I think the one thing is, like you said, when everyone wants this one thing out of the internet, and everyone hates it, this is why teens left Facebook. Everyone wants an ad-free, just pure they want something on the internet when someone's not trying to make money, you know.
Teens left Facebook when their grandparents started getting on there.
listen maybe that's true, but the truth is, in many instances, that you know, people want a community that's not trying to be sharked on. And it's like MTG already has this you heard Nina. I mean, there's a diminishing amount of people that are trying to just keep it like, hey, it's just the game. And I know some people will attack that, and some people will call it, you know, bro magic or whatever you want. But there is a purity in it where it's like, look, I just want to play the game. I just want to have fun. I don't want you to card shark the hell out of me. I don't want you to try and maximize value on trades and all these garbage. Right. And that's where I feel like MTGCast, this is a compliment. They were one of the few bastions on the entire internet that still had it. And I think that's why a lot of people were so upset. They're like, fuck, no, not this last refuge where it was free. And it's like, fuck, now we're like advertised to. That's what I feel.
Right. And a lot of people felt like, you know, it was like their friend did something underhanded. It's like finding out your friend did something underhanded or said something behind your back. Like, that's never a good feeling.
Yeah. Even though, like, you might. Your sister and you're just like, oh, God damn it.
Yeah. even if you forgive that friend for it, it's still fucked up they did it in the first place. Even if you understand it and you get it, it's still fucked up because they didn't tell you. Right?
Well, my sister is pretty hot, and I mean, she's kind of like, I get why you did.
My sister looks like me with slightly bigger tits. I mean, if that's your thing, you know, go for it. But she's got beer too. Anyway.
Well, you know, depending on what state that is, that'd be your friend fucking your girlfriend, too.
Let me make my goddamn cheesy-ass point. Okay, so...
Okay, sorry, Jack.
Where people got really... Where this really started to turn into a shitstorm is through the medium with which people decided to discuss this. Now, as a communications major, I study a lot about how the internet affects people. I'm a communications major, which means I'm going to contribute nothing to humanity. But, hey, suck it off, majors. But anyways, so I spend a lot of time studying how a particular medium can affect the content of a message, how that message is received, and how people individually interpret and consume that message, right? And the internet as it is a very poor medium for communicating any kind of like major
legitimate argument. Yes,
legitimate argument and personal concern. And there is plenty of scientific data to back up the fact that social networking, any kind of electronic communication, actively promotes people into arguments. But that being said, where this shitstorm really started is people decided to keep it to the MTG Cast host chat on Facebook, okay? And so what you had was people who were working day jobs and, you know, weren't fucking neckbeards in their basement who all they do is they make their podcast every week and play Magic. You had people who decided to be, like, the gallant white knight of the network and, you know, defend the people. And they took the intentions of the network and gratuitously twisted them into something that they simply weren't. Here's the thing. When we put the ads in front of podcasts, our only, like, major financial concern was to keep the network in the black. Okay, that's all MTG Cast really wanted to do, is we wanted to keep the network in the black and keep providing the service to people because, quite frankly, our listeners are amazing. But, and this is going to sound terrible, there simply are not enough shows asking people for donations, and there are not enough donations coming in to keep the network servers going. Okay, it's just, I will not reveal any further detail than that, but that's what it is. That's basically how it is. It's just there wasn't enough coming in to keep us going, and people were having to pay for it out of pocket, which is, you know, if it's your project and it's labor love, that's fine, but it's still like those people should not have to carry the weight of the entire network, no. Right?
And that is 100% understandable. If it was just, like I said, it's all about if it was brought in a light and in a way that just emphasized that and not, hey, boom, one day, oh my God, your dick is in my sister. What the fuck are you doing? Like, you know, like if you had said, hey, I really like your sister.
Like a budget drive. Yeah. Like, let's keep my sister pure. Let's keep my sister pure.
Like if you had come to me and said, hey, I really like your sister. She's really hot. Maybe I'm going to date her, like, one day.
Yeah, I'm probably going to fuck your sister, but if you slip me $20, I won't do it. I promise.
Yeah. Right. Actually, Kevin's got it right there.
But literally, it's like you wake up, you come downstairs, I'm pouring my coffee and your dick is in my cereal and my sister's pussy is in the cereal with it, your dick. I'm like, what the fuck is going on?
That's the second part of the problem. MTG Cast didn't communicate this accurately enough, but then the community took what little information and what little, you know, PR we used, and they twisted it because I think in some cases they had no choice, but in other cases you had people grossly aggregating what actually happened. Okay, I will not name these people, but these people are fucking jerks. I'll leave it at that.
So essentially, it was whispered like, hey, dude, I'm going to fuck your sister.
I mean,
if you don't help me out, I'm going to fuck your sister. And then people turned it into, he came into my house and he raped my sister.
Not only that, he was banging mama, too.
Held me at gunpoint and slapped my mama.
They did worse than that. We were we have been called profiteering capitalists, which I think is the stupidest insult you can give somebody.
Which but I love people, the fact that you preface that with we've done worse than that.
Well, you
profiteering capitalists as opposed to raping sisters.
Now wait, Jack. You know what you should have done? You should have now. See, if that ever happens again, you call me instantly. I Photoshop your head in a Ferrari, and then you email that picture back to them like, "What's your problem, bitch? Everyone's got to drive a car." You know,
everybody gotta get paid, dog.
No, dude, like Photoshop my head onto a pilgrim descending from the Mayflower. There we go. But anyways,
you in a Ferrari with Sharum in the passenger seat.
But that's what happened is somewhere along the line, I don't know, I won't say who twisted it like this, but people and podcasters and content producers thought that it became that we were profiteering off of their work. And I would like to emphasize for anybody listening to this, that is absolutely not true. Okay, we have MTG Cast has never, ever, ever wanted to profiteer or make money off of the content that people give us for free. That is completely false, and it's not true in any capacity because there's already websites like fucking Star City Games.
Yep.
And you know, Speculation, that's kind of quiet, and Gathering Magic, and other places that are, in my opinion.
You know who I bet twisted it, Jack? It was probably Star City Games to take the focus of all the bullshit off of them.
Yeah, they started.
They're like, let's just twist this whole thing up so that for like a week or two, everybody will stop talking about how terrible we are.
Precisely.
And start talking about how bad MTG
is. That makes sense now. It was all a grand scheme.
Now, you know the thing that
I got your conspiracy theories, Jack.
you know the thing that they should have done in all honesty is in a 30-second ad in front of everyone's podcast is overkill. It's so inoffensive. Like if you had just made giant banners for Quiet Speculation and put them all over the site, no one would have cared. And I think it's just you're selling for whatever you're selling that for. I think you're getting screwed over on because it's
selling that headspace for $200.
Yeah, and that's insane. That's just insane. Like, you know, I mean, first of all, I'll back Jack up. If anyone thinks $200 is enough to run a fucking server with gigabytes of podcasts on it, you're an idiot.
62 gigabytes per day.
Okay, so I do this for a living, and I bet that $200 doesn't even cover their hosting bill. So I can understand that, and I have no problem with it. It's just, man, I really wish it wasn't a 30-second ad in front of everyone's cast. That's my only thing. Maybe if it was a 30-second ad at the end
or
of the
just,
cast.
Like, literally, to like again, what we were talking about before, you know, I was kind of fucking beating a dead horse, but like the notification. Like, when this came up to me, I'm a host of a podcast on MTG Cast. No fucking clue what this was. I got a tweet from fucking Chewy at one point that mentioned something about an email, and I was like, I don't think you guys have my email. I've never heard anything about this. And he's like, oh yeah, sorry, like, oh no, I don't think we have your email or something along those lines. I was like, oh okay, maybe this has nothing to do with me. But
right,
what it comes down to is I didn't know what the fuck was going on. Now, if there was a fucking more of an orc deal, I mean, fuck, you get everybody besides Quiet Speculation. If, like, you know, we said, hey, we want to throw an ad on too. We want, you know, we want to have some sort of fucking ad for Mana Deprived or fucking or just for Heavy Meta or whatever, you know, get fucking Jeebs involved and do bro deals. And then you, like, actually have commercials and shit like that going on. Like, I get where they were going with it. But I think if more people realized what the fuck was going on, they'd have more than one fucking ad.
Precisely. And see, like, that's, again, that comes back to the root issue of all this is you have one side that wasn't necessarily communicating in the best or through the most effective mediums. And then you had the other side, which was the receptors who were taking the information. And because the medium was so bad and because the communication was not necessarily quality, they twisted it into something it wasn't and started getting confirmation bias from people who were like-minded with them. Okay.
Right.
So it's yeah, and it turns into this absolute shit fest. Where absolutely, like, everybody's on fucking Facebook every 10 minutes being like, yeah, well, you're a profiteering capitalist. And we're just like, what's up, bro? Your shit's in my garage, and you left it there for 6 months, and now I'm tossing it out, bro. What's up? What's up?
What's up, bro?
And so it turned into this just huge shit fest where nobody was willing to come forward and just be like, hey, can we talk about this, like, on the phone or some shit except for Marshall? Okay. And as you guys probably know, Limited Resources is no longer on MTG Cast. And that has to do with the ad. And Marshall talked with Chewy, and he talked with Otwell, to my knowledge. And a lot of the issues that Otwell wanted to remain stoic on is what drove Limited Resources from the network. Now, with that being said, again, I've met Marshall in person. He's a very good dude. And as I've said on this podcast before, I can't just walk up to people and strike up a conversation. Marshall is one of the few people I've been able to do that with. And, you know, I don't know if he hates our guts now or what.
No,
I like Marshall.
You know what, Jack? The truth is, Marshall has a brand, and his brand is growing to be worth. So, you know, like, if you look at it, and, you know, this, no, you know, we're shit, in all honesty. We're just some small-time players. But he's got an actual brand. Oh, look, shut up, Kimmy. He's got the premier brand.
I said that's right.
Yeah. Okay. Limited Resources is the unofficial podcast of Wizards, as far as I'm concerned. And I know he works for Wizards. It's true. If you don't want to believe it or not.
It's true. It's true, except for, like, they're just not overtly giving him a paycheck at this point.
Well, then that's bad marketing and business practices on him. Marshall, if you ever want to, let me talk. In all honesty, like, Wizards should be paying him $100,000 a year, because what he does and what he gives the community in terms of, like, I want to go buy a set because I've heard him talk about it.
I want to go fucking.
It's worth a lot. But anyways,
My point was this.
He's grown to a point where he didn't want to give control over the way his show was presented. And that ad took that over, and he made the call to leave, which is unfortunate because it would be really nice to have this, a fictional alternate world cast site that had everyone's cast on it and everyone was a buddy and, you know, servers were free and we didn't have these issues, but we have them and it's just, you know, whatever, we'll deal with it.
Yeah
it'd also be nice if you didn't have a bunch of fuckheads in a Magic community that you have to deal with all the time.
And see, like, out of everything that has, like, happened because of this, like, that's honestly the worst thing, but Marshall, and I'm just going to say the truth, Marsh didn't need us, like you just said. He really didn't. Yeah. Limited Resources got to the point where it doesn't need MTG cast. And see, that comes back to another problem. It's not just communication. It's people grossly overestimating or underestimating the value of their podcast in the community. Okay? I'm going to be brutally honest here. A lot of the shows that we have on MTG cast, and I listen to almost every single new show that gets added, is usually a bunch of fuckheads sitting around the mic with their friends saying, hey, you know, this card's good. Well, I think it's going to be good in the format that I play for XYZ reasons. And they're not really good cast, okay? But then you have a podcast like Marshall where, like, it got so huge that it surpassed actually needing MTG cast to have, like, listeners and followers and things like that. And it hurts that we now have this void on the network where Marshall's,
right,
what I would consider extremely high-quality content is gone. And the other podcast that left, and I don't know if you guys have talked to Marcel, was Brainstorm Brewery.
I didn't know.
Yeah, Brainstorm Brewery left, and that was one of the few, like, podcasts that was really entertaining to listen to on the network. But where, again, like, a lot of this antagony came from...
Dick, you know we can still hear you, right?
that's interesting. I mean, Brainstorm Brewery is one of my top cats. It's actually my favorite cast. I think it's just financially, like, you know what's weird about that? Because a lot of people, like, try to call me out that I hate Quiet Speculation, but how can you support Brainstorm Brewery? And I've tried to defend this, just like you, Jack. It's very hard to sometimes get your point across when people are thick-headed. But I'm saying, if you listen to Brainstorm Brewery and you listen to, like, Quiet Speculation and you watch how they approach things, Brainstorm Brewery is a purely informational cast that's just basically saying, hey, this is what's happening. It's not trying to say, hey, we're going to charge you $5 a cast to listen to, and here's this secret sauce that you can buy to make money off. And that's where I get, like, Quiet Speculation is like an insider trading, like, stock site, you know, where they're – and that's the distinction where I'm like, it's very clear that if you listen to one is out for profit and the other one is out for entertainment and knowledge. So
right.
That's too bad.
Right. And see, like, I'm starting to get tipsy. Okay, so that's where the main problem was on the end of our content producers was you had people who let their ego sort of get in the way of logic and understanding, and you had people who overestimated their podcast worth and who were listening to other people, and it turned into a big shit fest because of that. But then Chris Otwell decided to go and adjust the terms of service, which was item 13, as Ferret was mentioning, where it said okay, so again, communication problem here, okay? What this turned into was Otwell said that he wanted to – he was basically set it up to where MTG Cast reserved the name and, like, the intellectual property rights of whatever podcast went up on the network, even if they leave. And what he was really trying to get across was that with that is regardless of where your podcast goes, the content you have produced on the network can be used in future things like greatest of compilations, et cetera, et cetera. Like we could use your voice as a snippet, something funny or something like that.
Yeah, but the problem that came here with this one is that we know that that was the intent. The intent was just, hey, what you've given us is you've given us, and we can keep using it as we choose. But that's not the way that it was worded and came across to everybody. To everybody else, it came across of, we now fucking own your cast.
No, that's
if you die, we still have your cast. It is ours. And it was just like, oh, shit. No. Not happening.
And that is the...
If you had died in that hospital, we could have released press releases for you for years.
We could probably clip together like an audio will for Maddie so we could get all the shit too.
Right?
That's scary, actually, that our voices are out there. Someone could totally snip all that together and make us say anything, you know?
I'm really waiting for the day where my voice is like the narration to a gay porn soundtrack. It's going to happen.
There'd be barely any editing needed there to do that one.
Oh, thank you. That makes me feel so good.
Right there. Oh, thank you. And then Sharoop. Oh, thank you.
And then you
can just see this be a flash game already.
All we need is Spruik to auto-tune it, and we can make a fucking awesome.
Somebody call Newgrounds immediately. But, like, okay, so that was Otwell went and didn't word it necessarily in the way that was our intent. So people, again, miscommunicated and misinterpreted and got their ego on their shoulders, and shitstorms abounded all over the fucking place for, like, a day. And then what happened was Otwell went and reworded it, and everybody was like, oh, cool, and nothing happened since then. But there's been this very odd feeling in the air.
That's a very fucking, like, touchy area, too. From, like, my side of shit on, like, from the music industry, like, you know, you equate that to things like, you know, when people want to cover your songs, you know, like, literally, like, copyright issues, stuff like that, like, you know, ownership issues over the rights of songs. Like when people want to cover songs, like, literally, like, we've got a few different covers that we do that, like, it's a huge fucking ordeal. Like, I mean, we can play them live all we want to, but, like, we have to go jump through fucking major hoops to put them on an album because, like, yeah, if it's just, like, the spirit of it, it's like, you know, I love this fucking song, from our point of view, like, we love this fucking song that this artist did, and this is, like, an homage to them. For the most part, and like our take on it, and you know, like making it our own. That's all that we're doing with it. But with that kind of intent, it doesn't necessarily mean that somebody can't just sabotage what you've done. They can literally just take your recording. Like if you leave it open like that, where you have, you know, people have access to it, and you don't monitor that, or you don't make them jump through all sorts of legal hoops for it, then. Like, people can abuse the shit out of it. People can make, you know, people can go all Vanilla Ice on it and fucking just make money out of it.
And, like, see,
it's a really touchy subject.
The other thing is,
too. Because as much as we like to think that everybody is out there to, you know, the community is out there to be cool and, you know, everybody loves each other and we all want to fucking play together and have everybody's best interest at heart.
Kevy?
No, that's not.
Kevy, you're going all Care Bears and Bunnies on us. Knock it off.
Like,
we all know that's not the situation because you have people like me in the community, and I will help your sister.
All right. So Kevy brings up a very good point, though. People take their content, regardless of what it is, if it's an article or a short story or a song or whatever, people take things that they create because they take time out of their lives to produce it. They take it very seriously, and they should. People should take things that they produce regardless of what they are. I mean, if you take a canvas and you shit on that canvas and then you put gloves on and, like, make a painting out of the shit, you should still take that seriously because you took hours of your life you're never going to get back to produce that shit painting, okay?
Damn right.
And you're also probably going to end up in the hospital like Maddie.
Yeah, then you get a staph infection if you paint your shit.
Right, and I'll be honest, that's one of the primary reasons I left Mana Deprived originally was I felt like what I was contributing, even though I'm a shit content producer, I'll admit to that, I felt like what I was writing wasn't being taken as seriously as I took it. And that's one of the reasons I left Mana Deprived originally.
Interesting.
And so, yeah, I mean, that's full disclosure. Look, I love KYT. He is still one of the best members in the community I've ever worked with because he gave me a chance when absolutely nobody else would. But that's why I left. Like, and I mean, you know, anybody that's
done, he's got a reputation for doing that.
Well, I mean, like, that's, but I mean, like, anybody that's worked for Mana Deprival will attest to how awkward the editing can be sometimes, okay? But anyways, all that aside, so that was the other thing that happened, is, like, you had a lot of content producers who, they read that item 13, even when it was, like, reformed, and were just like, oh, shit, you know, like, what's going on here? Doesn't my family take what I have to say seriously? And so you had this mammoth shitstorm over that. And I'll be honest with you, like, it's pretty much over now, because things have been as ironed out as they can get. A lot of content producers, even if they were mad about it, have just got to the point where being a part of MTGcast far outweighs any negative effects that might come from it. And we've lost one of our major podcasts, and that sucks. And I hope we don't lose any other major content producers that are not necessarily Marshall level, but still important to the network, like, you know, the Manipole and stuff like that. I hope that doesn't happen anymore, but I fully expect to still see some fallout from it, because there is just this weird feeling in the air where people feel like we're not taking them seriously, and that's not the case. We take any podcast that's sent to the network, even if it's shitty, even if it is a horrible, god-awful podcast like the fucking General Zone of North Carolina. You guys need to go listen to that, okay? Like, it's terrible.
Oh, now he's straight calling people out.
You know what? Unfortunately, I did try to listen to that.
Oh, it's so bad. It's so bad. Okay, well,
you know what? At the last, on the last Friday of every month, I basically play Russian roulette with MTGcast, and I'm like, basically,
that's a dangerous game, Maddie.
it is, because I'm like, I try to find hidden gems, right? So I basically, I'll click on anything I've never heard of, and I've clicked on things that I'm like, I'll give this 5 minutes, and at minute 1:25, I'm like,
nope,
man,
nope.
No, I want to say it. I'm like, I gotta leave. And I'm like, no, you said you give him 5 minutes, it might get better. And it doesn't. It just doesn't get better.
But even if it's a shit podcast, like, we still take anything people send us very seriously. Because we do hope that every single person that produces anything for MTGcast, like, can get to where Marshall was. Because, and see, that's the flip side of Marshall Leaves, too, is it was actually very inspirational, because you have a podcast where you have a guy and his co-host that busted his ass for, like, the last year and a half. And that's very respectable, but he worked really hard. He took it very seriously. And he got big enough to where he didn't need us anymore. And like a baby bird leaving the nest, he just flaps his wings to the horizon. And
he doesn't need us anymore.
well, every time something like this happens, you have to look at, like, okay, it's like a rebirth from fire. And, you know, people have to realize that without MTGcast, if all of a sudden it wasn't here and you made your podcast, guess what? Your friends would listen to your podcast and no one else. And this is the second part of this. Me and Kevy are one of the few people that don't care. We would just do it because we'll listen to it. But there's a lot of people that want the fame of other people listening to their cast. And if there wasn't an outlet for it, because I know KOIT just won't take any cast off the street, no matter how many times you position him. I mean, you know, there's a lot of places. There's a lot of places. Well, there's a lot of places you can't put your cast. So at least, you know, MTGcast, even if we have to put up with the ads, which I hope there's some solution that's not necessarily going to be what it is right now, but whatever. You know, it is a place.
You know, there might even be, you know, you guys could even just offer an option to each cast to say, hey, to have a non-advertised cast, then just donate X amount per month.
Or we could just change our intro to just fucking bash Quiet Speculation so that people that come, like, Mana Deprived to listen to our fucking podcast have no idea why we have this hatred for them.
Yeah, well, what the hell was
that? People that just heard the Quiet Speculation ad were like, so for those of you that just listened to the fucking ad before us, fuck those guys and fuck their friends and fuck their sisters. we'll combat the ad with the first 30 seconds of our podcast.
Kevin, I love you so much right now. You have no idea. Enough to where I, in fact, won't fuck any sisters you have for this month.
Jack. Whiskey shot.
Right?
Absolutely. Failing to my kitchen.
All right, so I have to ask the next question, which is obviously, like, okay, Jack, what's going on with Lansdale? Like, I gotta ask. No,
real quick interjection for this whiskey shot. I just have to say that, like, I literally purposely stopped off and bought a bottle of whiskey because Jack was on the cast on my way home.
Nice.
I'm very flattered, sir. Thank you very much.
Because we just have this thing now.
It's awesome, man. It's fucking the best. No, but seriously, like, what's going on with Lansdale? Because, like, it was when all this drama was going on, he was threatening to quit and leave Horde of Notions and all this shit. So I have no idea what's going on. But tell me, inform me. What's happening?
All right, so here's the thing. I haven't talked to Chris, like, in a serious conversation probably since I left Horde of Notions back in episode 42 or whatever it was. And additionally, I would like to say, despite what Chris believes, even though I know he's never going to listen to this podcast, I actually personally have nothing against it. I really don't. Like, I don't even have anything against Chris Mascioli. Like, Chris Mascioli probably thinks I'm, like, the worst thing since fucking Robo-Hitler and Wolfenstein, but I have absolutely nothing against him. I don't have anything against anybody in this community at all. Like, I might find some shit that somebody says incredibly entertaining, and I might think that they're so wrong and disillusioned on something that they're almost idiotic for believing their own bullshit, but I don't hate anybody in this community. And that, like, Chris has gotten – what am I trying to say? Oh, God. All right. So Chris is somebody that can be extremely
– polarizing. Either you love him, like, or you hate him. This is what I realized. Like, he comes across in a way that either you instantly are like, oh, man, I love what the energy this guy has. It's interesting. Or you're like, you know, there's the negative reaction. Yeah, there's like, get this fucking idiot out of here. Like,
fuck this guy.
Yeah, like, that's the other thing going on there. Like, Chris is very polarizing. And, like, when issues like this arise, like, Chris, I don't know if you guys know this, he's actually a union worker and, like, fights for the rights of union workers and stuff like that. And that's cool. Oh, that's very respectful.
That makes sense. Okay.
I hate unions. But anyway.
I'm not that I have an issue with unions at all, but I'm saying, like, you know.
He's very much
profiling. Yeah. I'm sure he's sticking up for everybody.
Well, I mean, like, he's very much like a person that likes to fight for the rights of individuals and in this case, the content they produce or whatever. And that's a very respectable thing to do, except sometimes Chris doesn't always necessarily have all the information, or Chris can sometimes, as I was saying, be slightly disillusioned in his thinking. Like, a couple months back, Chris wrote an article an entry on his Tumblr, I should say, where he talked about how there was evidence for Jace the Mind Sculptor getting reprinted. Okay?
Yeah, but everyone has done that.
Right. And my counterpoint to this was, Chris, well, you know, think about it like this. Jace has been pushed to the two formats that Wizards of the Coast, like, does not actively market for. That should tell you something about the likelihood of it getting reprinted. Okay?
Yeah, exactly.
And when Chris sometimes hears dissenting opinion on, especially on something that he's very passionate about, he stonewalls and he, like, is basically like, well, you're wrong for reasons. And he just stonewalls behind his stuff and, like, doesn't communicate with anybody else. Oh, hey, another instance in which bad communication affects how people take information and or do something with information. Okay. And this has been a problem for Chris at least since I was on Horde of Notions. Okay, so what happened was Chris decided to I won't use the word white knighting. I won't use the word crusading. But Chris felt very strongly that it was perhaps his responsibility to try and mitigate what was going on with the podcasters, with what was going on with MTG Cast. I may or may not have said, surprise, surprise, Chris Lansdale is butthurt about something. I will own up to that. I said that because it was reading over Chris's comments. That's the impression I got. Chris does not take bullying or trolling or anything like that in any way, shape, or form. And, you know, I will say there are instances in which I will outright just say you're a fucking idiot to people on Twitter, and I will make fun of people and I troll the shit out of people, especially people that have fucking hentai altars on their lands or whatever. You people are horrible, like, on a fucking fire. But, like, I troll in a way to perhaps encourage people to adjust their logic and consider other possibilities. But again, we have the fatal flaw of we're communicating over the internet, so nothing is actually going to be accomplished that will matter or help things at all, right? So Chris may have said, surprise, surprise, you know, Jack LaCroix decides to troll something that people are concerned about. Go do this elsewhere, you know, yada, yada. So then I said, this is your exact stance you take on every single issue that ever comes up on anything ever. So then he blocked me on Facebook. Come to find out.
Oh, no.
Yeah, oh man, he blocked me on a social networking. Like, I need to send him some flowers or some shit. So, like, then Chris, come to find out, had me blocked on Twitter as well. So I have actually not been able to keep up with what was going on with Lansdell, but I would not be surprised if Chris felt so strongly about what was going on and was so strongly convinced that perhaps MTG Cast was taking advantage of him or the situation or whatever. If we were taking advantage of our content producers, that he decided to, you know, up and leave the casting community. That doesn't surprise me at all. That being said, I do wish Chris the best. Again, he's not necessarily a bad person. He's just a person that his passions sometimes override what is necessarily an accurate description of what's going on. And that's not, there's nothing wrong with that. There's plenty of people in this community like that. But no Chris, shit. Chris is extremely passionate on all the things, quote unquote. And
on all of the
that things. That's his greatest attribute, because he does a lot of work for, Mana Deprived. I know he's the butt of a lot of jokes, and that sucks because I've been the butt of a lot of jokes throughout my entire life. But he does a tremendous amount of work for Mana Deprived. He really tries very hard to take Horde of Notions seriously, which, oh, hey, you know, he might have felt that we weren't taking Horde of Notions seriously, whatever. And he does a lot of work for the community that I think a lot of people don't necessarily appreciate, or that work is overshadowed by things like, hey, guys, seriously, listen to me, hear me out. This is why Jason the Mind Sculptor is going to get reprinted. So, Chris, if you're listening to this, I highly doubt it, but if you're listening to this, please, like, unblock me, dude. I don't hate you. I might troll you every now and then, but
come on,
when, like,
man,
when we were making fun of you.
You know, I look at it this way. I look at it this way. If Jack LaCroix trolls you, you should be congratulated, because it's honored. Like being on, it's like being on 20 tweets. Like, oh man, Jack actually cared. He cared enough.
Achievement unlocked.
I'll tell you right now, I was overjoyed when Jack LaCroix followed me on Twitter and then made fun of something I said. I was like, yes, he actually read a fucking comment I said. Yeah, I felt like I was king shit, man.
And like, that's the thing. Like, I never. A lot of people, what? Look, Kevin.
I was just like scrolling through Twitter, and I don't know if this is something like that influenced conversation or it was just flat out like dumb luck. But like, from Travis Hall, like we were asking for questions, we got the fucking an F Mary kill, Tate Masioli or Zombie Hitler.
Oh no! I'm not
saying we need to go through the fucking.
We're taking a break from fucking.
How about we just kill ourselves and be done with it? Yeah.
But I'm pretty sure that like this shit keeps getting like we always get these fuck Mary kills, but like for sure like exactly what we're talking about right now. And I started scrolling through Twitter. And this was like an hour ago. It's just all fuck Mary kill. Tate Masioli or Zombie Hitler. I'm pretty sure like fucking Robot Hitler got brought up at some point.
I do want to answer this, even though we're not necessarily going to do this. I would actually fuck Jordy Tate, and my reasoning behind that is, like, Jordy Tate, like, he would be so fun to say what?
I said it's probably the same as mine.
Okay, go on. No, why? Like, why would you fuck him?
Because he's a bitch. No,
I have a much more sensical reason for that. Okay, so like Jordy Tate is just so full of like bitterness and vitriol and hatred, everything that people think that I am, right? So like you would be like really getting into it with him and like think you're giving it your all, and he would just turn around at you and be like, you fucking misogynistic pig, you can do better than that. Like, you know what? This is why women don't believe you're a good person. You're the reason the patriarchy exists. There you go.
Yeah. Oh my god, that is right there.
I'm gonna gracefully bow out of this competition.
Yeah, I can't win this. There's no winning this.
That was beautiful. It doesn't matter if fairies are killed.
Jack, the world needs to know. They're like, are you in some way gonna miraculously pull off a trip to Vegas? Are you coming to Modern Masters?
You know what, like, you know what I'm actually going to be doing the weekend of GP Vegas while all you fuckers are getting together at, like, one house and you're all meeting and, like, you're getting drunk and you're having a good time and enjoying yourself and having, like, fucking bromance and all that shit? I'm going to be sitting at home watching the coverage, crying and masturbating as I go to sleep. Like, that's what's going to be happening.
As long as you're not masturbating at the coverage, then I'm good with it. It's fine. That's all good.
I mean, as long as... No, as long as like Nick Bonham does not get on the send out.
Oh man.
Like as long as Nick does not get on the fucking microphone, that man has a like you guys think Marcel has a buttery smooth voice? Oh my god. Like the Jen's Playground is like porn. It's all audio.
Even Marcel agrees, and like the Jen is the shit, man. And like that guy could, I mean, he'd probably convince me, you know, if he wanted to use his powers for evil, he could probably convince people to do whatever he wanted, you know, like very easily.
Precisely.
Put your cards in an envelope and send them to the Jen, because you know. Jin. You don't need the Jace. The Jace is weighing you down, brother.
Yeah, like every like zombie idiots just fucking stuffing, just like taking time off work to go to the post office to fucking send that guy cards. Yeah, I
speaking of that shit, I need to send you some cards.
What? Oh yes, yes you do.
But
now, so obviously Jack, you're not gonna make it. But me and Kevy look like what? I mean, I've been trying to find a way to get Ferret in, but he's nervous about traveling on an airplane.
Well, the only reason, and I'm going to sound like a punk for this, the real reason I don't want
to... He's going to ride in a fucking cargo bay in a fucking kennel. Like,
I told him there were other ways, but he's not interested.
He was trying to make me go through the...
the one-way tunnel.
The wet cave. Yeah, that. Not on the...
Yeah, smuggling.
Just get in this little condom first.
I'm not and I'll a fucking shove you. Temple, okay?
Yeah, it's just like filling the drugs, you know? Anyways, like, so...
Hold on, guys. I know I just got here, but I gotta head to the bathroom for a minute.
Well, no, the worst thing was...
Spirit's gonna be here, please.
The worst thing, I was like, shit, man, don't be moving around when we're going through customs, because, like, sir, you're sweating, and you're moving, or you're fidgeting. I think we have to body scan you. Oh, shit.
I just have to poop.
I don't want this on Twitter somewhere. You know?
Oh yeah. Maddie getting a fucking ferret and a condom extracted from his penis.
No, because you'd have the X-ray and you just see the ferret in my ass cavity.
the ferret and his nexus.
Yeah, exactly. He's tweeting, of course. It's dark in here.
Because how the fuck would you get out of that? You just have to look at the customs officer and just be like, I'm a furry. Like, because that's the only justifiable reason you have to
literally be like, this is the only defense I have. Do you guys have, do you have 2 hours, 3 hours, 4 hours? Here, listen to a podcast.
No. I already had it worked out. I would say I was eating a granola bar. Some of it fell down the crack of my ass. And all of a sudden, this animal just jumped. When I was bending over, it just went after it. And before I knew it. I thought it was better to just to clinch my butt cheeks and get through customs. Yeah.
What kind of operation are you running here at freaking Delta?
Exactly.
It was raining, so he
was. And then, of course, I'd be crying at the customs officer. He thought I was a hamster.
Yes. No, but see, then I would just start screaming and say, he touched my penis. He touched my penis when he was patting me down.
He touched me all weird.
Someone get a video camera. He's touching my penis. Anyways, so that is a fortune.
That's
not
how
gonna...
we were going to try to get Ferret.
But no, then we figured it's just not worth it. It's just not worth the trouble. But GP Vegas is obviously...
Maddie to do this.
Yeah, well, who knows what would be smuggled back from Vegas. That's what worries me. But
if they do GP Vegas every year, I might be able to make next year, though.
All right, well, there you go. If there is a Modern Masters, too. But, so, Jack...
You have to be Modern Masters. It's just another GP at Vegas. Fuck yeah.
Oh, yeah. We could make this an annual thing. I have no problem with that. But, so, what do you think, Jack, overall of, like, of Modern Masters? Because like, we have...
If you want my honest... All right, so, like, here's my personal opinion on it. I think that implying in any way, shape, or form, this is gonna, like... fix what's going on with Modern is a very cruel joke that is being perpetuated by misinformed members of the community. What Modern Masters is effectively going to accomplish is it's going to introduce a lot of commons and uncommons into your local game store that you may or may not have had access to previously, and that's where the set is going to succeed. But I keep looking at this thing, and like the only thing I'm thinking about is Commander, because like there's shit in here that isn't necessarily played in Modern, but is a staple in other formats, like Legacy, some light vintage play.
I agree.
I'm not drunk enough to actually
enjoy
that.
Whoa! Yeah, we're getting freaking crazy echo. Alright.
Alright, anyway, so if you guys want to see, the spoiler is here. So.
Yeah, no, we I mean, the way I look at it, like on MTGO, I've been watching just for everyone that's kind of trying to see what's happening with Modern on MTGO. So I've been tracking all the top Modern cards on MTG Goldfish, and I've been watching them drop. And funny enough, Modern Masters gets released, what, in 14 days or something like that? And Dark Confident...
This week.
Oh, is it this week? Oh, shit. Okay, so...
Sure. It's yeah. like Friday. Or,
well,
Friday.
Fuck. Okay, so...
No, I think it's... God damn it. Let me double check. I want to say it probably comes up next...
Yeah, with downtime.
Nope.
Yeah, it's yeah, next Thursday.
Oh, on Moto? Sorry. Like, my head yeah. got all fucked up. I couldn't hear
because
you.
Because we're also going to have, at the same time, the beta... Or is not
well, hold on. The spotlight. We'll get to the spotlight. But
yeah.
So what I've been watching, everyone, is I'm watching all the Modern cards on MTGO. Now, we know Modern Masters is coming. We know it's extremely fucking expensive. We know this is a double fuck you in the ass situation where you're not going to get the cards, and they're charging $7 a pack, and the drafts are more expensive. It's a complete ripoff. And in all honesty, I'm very unexcited to play Modern Masters on MTGO. It sucks because it's just way too expensive. Now, what's funny enough, I was waiting to buy Dark Confidence and Tarmogoyf and all that shit, and they have stopped dropping in price. And that is because, like Jack said, the uncommons and commons will be dirt cheap. You'll be able to get those for dirt. But the truth is, you were able to get most of those for dirt on MTGO anyways. The rares and the mythics now, they're going to go up in price. So Dark. Hold on, like Dark Confidence 1304 right now, and it's stopped falling and it's rising again. Now,
I was going to say not all the uncommons, because if you look at E-Witness, Path to Exile, Kitchen Finks, all of that, it was actually still a couple of bucks each.
Oh, okay, well, I mean, yeah, there are some staples, but you know, the truth is, I don't think as many people are going to play Modern Masters on MGO as Worth thinks. And I know he
did. Here's the problem.
Now, I know he did tweet that, yes, we have in the past lowered the price $5. But even if you did drop the price of the drafts $5, it's still way too fucking expensive. And it's the Goyf lottery. No. And I just don't think it's, I don't know. I think for MTGO, this is bullshit.
Maddie, I wasn't getting into that. Here's the thing about MTGO for Modern Masters. Okay? It's only going to be in the store to buy the packs for two weeks.
Yes.
2 weeks.
Yeah.
And then it's going to be able to play the events for a month. I mean, what kind of shit is that? This isn't like trying to fucking bring back Mask Block, okay?
Well,
this is a new set.
Well, here's what's even hilarious. They didn't even have this many restrictions on the ME sets. So the first Masters Edition sets, they weren't this restrictive, right?
Like, no, the first three Masters sets were out for like multiple months each.
That's right. So I believe this is Wizards' attempt at keeping value, even though they don't care about the secondary market. Yeah. Bullshit. They do, and they don't want MTGO. And this is 100% what I believe. They do not want MTGO prices to crash to the point where
it's exactly too attractive.
Yeah, it's too attractive to play online, and people won't buy paper. You know,
this is exactly what we've been talking about since we talked, like since we started this fucking podcast. We've been talking about like the shit with Modern Masters, and since we found out it was gonna be like non-redeemable, we were talking about this huge fucking price discrepancy.
Well, now we know we have our answer, right?
Exactly. This is what they did to remedy that situation. They're like, all right, well, you guys get it for 2 fucking weeks. Go.
No. But they didn't. They said, you get it for 2 weeks. We're going to charge you a ridiculous amount. Oh, and by the way, we're not going to let it redeemable. So in my opinion, I know they're trying to protect value. But again, you've protected value at the point of making the product non-interesting. Like, it's just – why would anyone fucking play this? Like, and me and Marcel, and I know Kevin, and a lot of people, Ben, we were all very, very excited to play Modern Masters on MTGO, and now we're just like, none of us. I don't know anyone that's going to play this. They're like, this is a fucking throwing your money in the fucking toilet. I mean,
no, like, literally, I'll probably play it. To be honest, I'll probably play it like once.
Maybe once.
I look at it like this. Like, you know, cool, you get to open the packs because it's just like the appeal of Modern Masters and paper. You're like, oh, sweet. You know, I get to play this fucking draft format, which we'll get to that in a little bit. Like, I don't know.
Well, hold on. Now, set
up.
So, Kevy, here's the question. Wait, here's the question that answers it all. It's almost the same price to draft online as it is in paper.
Right.
So which one would you do? I'd have the fucking cards then. I'd go to the paper store.
You know, people are going to be doing this, money online, though.
This is my issue. My issue has always been, like, I can't really go draft this shit at my fucking store. Like, you know why? Because one of the boxes that I can get, like, they're not going to have any fucking in-store product and have fucking drafts for it. Like, everybody jumped on the fucking boxes, and so they're not going to have any fucking product. So I can't really do it in paper. You know what I get to do in paper? In Vegas.
And well, Vegas is fucking different.
That's going to be different. But, like, you know, I might do it online because, you know, there's still that whole, like, cool, you know, I'll fucking jump on, play the format. It also depends on, like, when this format actually gets drafted and we see whether it's worth a fuck or not to draft in Vegas.
It sure does. Like, I'm actually taking Vegas pretty seriously because I want someone on the SVU has to fucking make day two. And well, I don't know if it's going to be me, but I've been looking at it.
I would like for somebody to, but like, I'm not very good at draft unless Rakdos involved. But
yeah,
like,
well,
I'm
that's
looking
right.
at this format and I'm just like, fuck, man. Like, I don't even know, like, what to do with this fucking format.
I know, it's worse than Q.
Hey, Kevin. Like, here's what you do. You crack open.
Queen of the Bay. I know exactly what I'm doing. I'm drafting I'm grabbing all the fucking common burn spells and lightning helix, and then everybody can suck a dick. Like, I'm just playing fucking red splash white burn deck. That's it. Maybe I should just draft a control deck to fuck with anybody who knows who I am.
And you'll lose because you won't know it. You'll time out every round.
I have no idea how the fuck to. I'm all, what do these cards do?
Do I mulligan with an island? What is this thing?
I don't get this.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it'll be interesting to see what happens. I've looked at it, like, draft strategy wise. I know a lot of people were hoping.
Yeah, like fucking fairies. And
yeah, well, I don't even know if I would. In all honesty, I'm going to end up just drafting aggro, like just fast aggro, and hope to get there.
No. You're not allowed to do that. That's my signature move.
Oh, I can't go Esper aggro. Fuck.
Yeah, you can. Okay, fine. You can go Esper aggro.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, the truth is Vegas is a lot of people too today were saying, why the fuck would you pay VIP? Listen, man, there's already like 1,600 people pre-registered. This is going to be the biggest GP ever. If I can avoid a lion or not sit next to someone. Or give me just another inch on either side of me so I don't have to touch your
table space. That means you get like 3 inches.
Yeah. Like, anything that helps that, I'm there. It's worth the money. This is a once-in-a-lifetime thing, so that's really why I'm doing it. And if we can all get in the VIP section together, it's going to be a fucking hoot, right? So that's kind of why we're doing it.
Yeah, I bet it will. I will think of you, gentlemen, as I'm sitting there crying, wishing I was with you.
I gotta tell you, Jack, if there was a way I could have you with us, it would be a fucking blast.
Here's the thing. This is the real reason I'm not going. It's not necessarily the cost, because Marcel, very good dude, by the way. I know you guys have obviously spoken to him.
Hell yeah.
Marcel was going to try and, like, find a way for me to get to Vegas about last year, but here's the thing. I have a very wonderful wife, and we have a very good life together. And I like sharing things with her, like, because we were too. You shut your whore mouth, I guess. we have a good life together, and we enjoy sharing things with each other. And like, Tiff has been around me for 7 years, so like, she obviously knows that I'm a Magic player and I'm a big nerd, and she hears a lot about just the crazy.
You told her you're a Magic player? That's why my fiance is still going to marry me. She doesn't know.
It's fine. But like, she hears all the time about like all this crazy shit that everybody gets upset about in the community, and like just all the shit that goes down, like fucking Jordy Tate writing an article to his kid that didn't exist, and like all this bizarre shit. And like, the Magic community is so fucking weird to somebody that's not a part of it. Like, it's so strange, and it's so off the wall and odd and just weird. And like, especially like the personalities in this community, there's so many different people you can meet. Yeah. I mean, this is going to sound weird. I met my first trans friends through the Magic community, and that's awesome. Like, 'cause otherwise I never would have ever gotten to interact with those people. Okay.
Right.
And GP Vegas was one of those deals where there was absolutely no positive way I was going to go without her, because I would want her to just plunge headfirst into the fucking pool, no knowledge of how the game works, and get to experience and meet you fuckers. Okay?
Oh, like, Jack, let me just interrupt you. You are a brave, brave man. Because there's I love my wife to death. She's my soulmate, but I would never subject her to, and I don't say you guys are bad. No. But I would just like, that is such, that's like dropping someone in Arctic water who hates cold water. Like, yeah. Hey, guess what? We're going and here's the crazies. Yeah. Like, that's hardcore, man. That's a hardcore dip.
Well, on the flip side, though, like, you know, if I scrub out at the event, I get to go see the strip and gamble and drink and have a wonderful evening with my wife, too.
Yeah,
right?
that is a benefit. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. There is that. I mean, like, I'm not saying I don't love you guys and I wouldn't have a wonderful time with you guys, but I can't have sex with you guys and feel good about myself in the morning. So there's that.
I like that you put that at the end. It's not that you can't. It's that you can't have sex with us and then feel good about yourself.
No, I don't think he said he couldn't have sex. He just said he wouldn't feel good.
Right. Yeah, exactly. obviously could. He just won't feel good about himself.
Imagine the tilt we would both be on the next day of the event, right? Like, I can't do that to your performance level.
No, I couldn't look you in the eye and cast a Vidillion click. I'd be like, this is awkward, Jack.
It'll be like, okay, Jack, we're going to have to talk about this later because I somehow made day two and you have a fucking commander meeting with Destiny and you go sit at the commander table and just wreck shit with Shroom and we'll talk about this later. Goodbye, honey.
No, you'd been dealing click me, right? Now you'd be like, well, you have to show me everything, and I'd be like, you've already seen it, and just start crying at the table. It'd be so awkward.
And the judge would be like, you want me to give him a match penalty for delay of game? Yeah, he's completely delaying the game. This is false.
Yeah, like, I thought we meant something to each other.
Oh man. But yeah, I mean, I think Vegas is obviously going to be really interesting. It's going to be very exciting to see, how Modern Masters drafts. I might even just go blind, like just not try to play any FNMs or anything and just be like, fuck it, man. It's a one-time thing. And who knows, man? We might, someone might make day two. Someone might not. Who knows? It's just going to be really cool. Like, fuck, so many people going. It's just, there's going to be so much to do. I don't even know how we're going to get
it
all.
All I care about is fucking, like Mike Marcella said, it would be awesome for somebody in the SVU to fucking make a feature match.
that would be, I'd give them the shirt off my back. Like, if anyone, I'm just like, here, just take my cards. You win. If anyone gets on camera, I'm just like, whatever I have, carry.
We're all standing there watching him. Like, Maddie's literally taking the shirt, the SVU shirt off his back to put on him.
And then I'm just standing it.
And then I'm just standing there with no pants on for no good reason. I'm just all, well, I mean, fuck, if Maddie had to take clothes off, I think I have to also.
Yeah, so I could just see people like, Kevin, he doesn't need pants. I know, but I feel better with him.
No, I feel like I'm contributing.
Yeah, there you go. So we'll get closer to the end of this episode. We'll ask Jack. So
to the end of this episode.
Yeah, well,
we had to skimp on last week. So this episode is going all night long.
All night, man. 8 o'clock
in the morning.
All night, man. We're doing a marathon cast. Although I will say, one day I would absolutely attempt a marathon cast. If anyone
I'm saying Vegas, man.
What would be a good idea if that's the case? You know, since people seem so despotic about these ads and stuff, what if, we just had some heroes, maybe from Heavy Meta, perhaps, that wanted to do a marathon fundraising / charity cast to maybe get the ads off for a month?
Like a straight up telethon?
Actually, that is kind of cool. That actually is awesome. Can you imagine that? Like a freaking all weekend cast.
If we were doing something like that, I think it would have to be a stream on like Twitch or something rather than cast.
No, that would be horrible. Like, for 3 hours, we could probably talk about Magic, and then we've exhausted everything there. So then we'd go off on tangents for like 2 hours, and then just like fucking hour six arrives, we descend into insanity, right? Like, we fucking. So like. You guys think we're all just creations of God experiencing itself unto itself infinitely for as long as the universe stretches on? And if that's the case, am I Ulamog or am I not really?
No, look, all I know is this. We would have a dump button, and if the cast got to a point where we had to dump it, we hit it. And then that's it. We got this far. We've got six hours in.
But then it would become like a dare. It's like the gong show and shit. It's like, do you hit it? Do you not hit it? Like, who's going to be the bitch that hits the dump button?
That's right.
We'll keep trying.
Yeah, and when the thing there is a rule that is as soon as anyone starts talking about Deep Space Nine, the show's ended.
It's all over.
Aww.
I'm just kidding. No, but
I do feel like while we're in Vegas, there needs to be at least somebody that has, like, Scotty Mac brought up that, you know, if you've got an iPad, you can do the fucking streaming app. So somebody needs to bring their fucking iPad. We need to literally just have at random fucking times throughout this whole fucking GP Vegas experience, just have a Twitch channel open that's just our retarded fucking house, whether it be like, oh, dude, hey, let's walk around and look and see what everybody's doing. And you've got some Commander games going, you got some Modern games going, Kevy's face down in the fucking pool with no pants on, and then fucking, like, Maddie's over in the corner fucking trading off all the fucking Tarmogoyfs that he fucking pulled out of his fucking sealed pool and then still
scrubbed
out.
I like this story. And then I still scrubbed out, right?
And then like, it'll just cut away. And then fucking, like, 6-8 hours later when it's fucking nighttime, like, Kevy's screaming on top of the building with torches in his hands. Maddie's passed out next to the pool. But, like, everybody's switched positions.
Oh, my God.
We'll just treat all of our listeners, viewers, whatever, the people that can't be there. Well, basically, Jack, we're just giving Jack masturbation material.
Yeah, there you go.
Oh, shit.
So apparently, Ferret, you got a Vegas story?
No, I was just, you're like, no Deep Space Nine stories. Well, shit. Stories I have from Vegas.
Oh, man.
When I went for the World Series Poker back in...
Man, you're
but, yeah, apparently
Ferret,
the...
you sound like a robot.
Yeah, your fucking connection sucks, man. We're going to dump you.
Yeah.
Hit the dump button.
Yeah, all of a sudden it turns from like nobody hit the dump button to we're like, oh, whatever, that's easier. Just hit the dump button.
Oh, man. So, I think we probably talked about just about everything that's happened. I don't think anything else except for M14 looking like complete garbage. I don't know. That's my opinion so far, people.
Happy about it. I didn't expect much from it because it's fucking M-set. So,
well,
I don't know. For some reason, I just have a fucking issue with M-sets. Watch. Like, I used to say that about Modern. I'm like, fuck Modern. Like, I hate Modern. Modern's garbage, and now that's all I play. So, you know, watch. I'm going to be like, M-sets are the greatest! I love the core set!
I highly doubt it. The truth is, like, Draft is okay in the M-sets. It's not the best. It gets boring really quickly. But the truth is most of the cards in M14 look only playable in draft. Like, most of it looks like shit, besides Ooze. And maybe this new Chandra will be awesome. I don't know. I pray
like,
it is.
It, like, inherently comes down to the fact that, like, it's hard to get excited about a set when, like, most of the cards are reprints. So...
Well, it's not even that. It's just...
Reprints are, like, functional.
Doesn't it have Thoughtseize?
Well, not yet. Theros will probably have it. But anyways, hey, if my Deep Throat source knows anything about Theros, hit us up, man. I'm curious to if you have any inside information. Because you were
correct. Somebody followed me today. Like, it's a new Twitter account called MTG Deep Throat. I don't know if it has anything to do with
it. Yeah, he's telling me hilarious. Too.
Oh, that's fucking hilarious.
Back to what I was saying, though, earlier. Sorry, I had to go get a different headset. That the Hilton in Vegas, on the Strip, well, actually, it's slightly off the Strip, the Deep Space Nine Promenade.
Oh, God.
And, well, my stepfather and mom happen to be huge Trekkies. Well, there I am trying to freaking take a picture.
Where's the dump button?
Yeah, well, I'm just sitting there trying to take a picture for them. Sure shit, walking backwards, not paying attention to where I'm going, who I'm bumping over, and literally trip over Kirsten Dunst, who is just coming out of rehab.
No.
Yeah.
That's cool.
That's fucking awesome.
Well, at least your story spiced up. I was like, and then I tripped and fell, and it sucked.
Well, you know
what? Well, I mean, it's just one of those things that you're just like, huh, what? Wait
a second.
Hey.
Okay, so here, if you want to hear the ultimate Trek story, I think I've got one. So back in the day when what was that, the big-titted Borg chick? What's her name? Seven?
I don't give a shit.
Something like that,
Okay, so anyways, I think it was she on Voyager? I think it was Voyager.
Oh, my God. You guys know the fucking expansions and everything?
Yeah, it's pathetic. But anyways, I was at a comic convention. This is hilarious. So this chick, or I don't even know if it was exactly her. It might have been an imposter just dressing up like her, but she had giant tits. And there was a little boy, and I was in a Comic-Con, and there was all these people lining up to get her autograph. And this little boy, I was like trading comics with this guy, and I was just watching because, fuck, every once in a while you got to glance back. You're like, damn, that Borg is hot. Anyways, this little kid, he must have been 9 or 10 years old. He's waiting in line, waiting in line. And he must have had like Down syndrome or something. I don't know if he was totally Downs, but he was slow, right? He
just got a touch of the Downs.
Yeah, just a touch of the Downs. Anyways, so he gets to the thing, and he's like, oh, okay, you're the greatest, blah, blah, blah. And the lady was like, oh, give me a hug. The kid doesn't just give her a hug. He puts his hands on her tits and takes his face and buries it in her tits.
Yes!
The lady was just like, she just stood there and like looked at the crowd.
What
the
do you do?
No, no, no.
The entire crowd
of people are all stunned. The mother couldn't even react. She's just like, oh my God. I turn around and I'm just like, yeah. And I give this fist pump and I scream out, yeah. And the whole crowd is silent, right? And then I hear like way off, like another guy's like, oh damn. And people are like, they're starting to go, holy shit. The kid still has his head in her tits. He lifts his head up at all this yelling. He looks around, still grabbing him, and he squeezes him really hard. And that's when she's like, slaps his fist out of the way. He's like, get out of the way, what are you doing? Like, security jumped in, like, you can't touch her, blah, blah. But it was the funniest look on my face because as they were like carting him away and all this shit, the mother walks past me and gives me the dirtiest fucking look in the world. Like, just looks at me like, my son doesn't.
Terrible.
My son doesn't know what he's doing. You know, like one of those horrible looks, right? And I look at her and I'm like, I would have done the same.
Yeah,
I'd have
totally done the same.
If I was there at that moment at 10 years old with those titties in my face, I probably would have been like, you know what? I'm never going to get them. I got to go for it.
Well, true story, that was actually me.
Wasn't you? You look like a 10-year-old Downs boy. Okay, there you go. That's awesome.
With all six photos of me on the internet, now you know.
Yeah.
That's fucking awesome.
Well, looking at your Skype picture, I totally buy it.
Yeah, I totally. So we'll wrap up this episode on obviously one of the hottest, you know, cards going right now, Voice of Resurgence. That thing is almost $50 on MTGO. It's
over. I don't understand this. Like,
well, let me explain.
I get fucking. It's like it's exponentially gotten worse just since I got into this game. Like, it's retarded. Like, they're like, oh well, shit. I mean, the last time we had a card that was like, obviously, Voice of Resurgence is an important card. It's doing something. It's a staple.
I'll tell you, that's fine.
But, like, the staples from Standard have been doing that. Like, they're like, oh, sweet. Well, the last Standard staple that we convinced everybody to buy, like, you know, oh, that it was $15 before. Then it was $20. Then it was $30. Then it was $40. Like, $15 for Voice of Resurgence? You guys are all fucking retarded.
Well, listen to this. So I'll tell you right now, Theros will have answers. M14 has answers. To this card.
You know, yeah, but before Theros and M14, like, somebody's going to come up with an answer. Like, I mean,
no,
you know, Geist's Aincraft, great fucking card. Like, people either play it or they fucking don't. And they're, like, barely answers to that fucking card. But, like, seriously, fucking $50 for Voice of Resurgence, that card is not that good.
Yeah, well, here's the thing. Voice is a value card that goes in all these band strategies.
Right, would you pay $50 for it?
Well, I paid $26, so
watching. Would you pay $50 for Resurgence?
In all honesty, I can't pay $50. My limit is $30. Like, at any card, and I very rarely buy cards. Like, when Bonfire the Dam went to $30, and I was like, and I got one in a draft, and of course, that's the curse, right? You get one in the draft, it's like, do I sell it, or do I try to go for the playset?
I go for the playset.
Yeah, and then, you know, stupid
move. I'd like to think I'm smarter than when I, like, bought my Bonfires.
No. but here's the thing with Voice. Like, I got my playset at 26 because I was watching that thing as it was coming down, and I knew if you watch how the other sets go, last set Mythic, you know it, there's going to be a Mythic at 30. You know it. That's just the market, the speculators, everyone is looking for that card, and they're going to jump on it. And that's why it went from 26, then it was the Pro Tour weekend. You saw what it did. It went to 36, then it fell down a bit, and then all the speculators are like, this shit's the real deal. And that inflation from $30 to $49.24 right now is all speculation. It's not – it's complete speculation right now. It's going on.
Well, it's certainly in a bubble. It's just a matter of how long is it going to stay there.
Well, the question is this. 214 is going to bring Ratchet Bomb. Is that going to wreck the card? A little bit. I say it's going to take like maybe a $5 or $10.
It might hurt it a little bit, but it isn't going to wreck it.
No, exactly. That's the point, right? Like Snapcaster. It's a card that's so value and can be splashed in so many decks. How do you wreck it? It's just another type of strategy has to come about. The worst thing I saw, though, and my friend told me, he's like, well, does, you know, would Aetherlyn beat Voice of Resurgence? And I'm like, I don't know. Not really. Like, they're... You know, what's the deal? He's like, here's something horrible. What if you just played them in the same deck? And I'm like, yeah, that's like what happens, right? That's where Sphinx's Revelation comes in. You just put all the good cards in one deck, and you have this unstoppable value machine.
No,
well, here's the difference, too.
Not when I tried to play fucking Geist and Hellrider together.
Well, Hellrider does not go with Geist.
All right, here's the difference there. Is red, white, I can't even say that. I was gonna say red, white, and blue doesn't get played that often, but that's actually a deck that's up and coming.
No, it's all over right now. Yeah.
But yeah, I know. That's the reason why I was like, well, I guess that's actually a little different. But
no, it's just that those two don't go together.
Yeah. And then two here, Aetherling. It's a rare, and it's only like a two of in most decks. Sometimes three. Yeah. Where race is it mythic, and it's a four of.
Yeah, exactly. Just like Bonfire.
It just gets like you said. It's such a value card.
Yeah,
it pretty much shuts down your opponent working on your turn.
Yeah, like as soon as I got my voice, the first thing I did is I brewed my modern decks while I was sick there, and I was brewing standard junk lists. The card's nuts. Like it is a modern staple. If Legacy, if any of these other formats come hard on MTGO, that's just going to be a card. Like if you play green white, you're going to play that card. Like it's like not playing Path of Exile, right. You're playing green white. Like it's just too good not to throw in, and it's. Turn two, bam. So it's going to stay high. I think it's overpriced. I would sell in all honesty, in paper, it might spike a little bit higher, but I'd be out of that card at 50, and I'd be happy if I got one. And, you know, same thing with MTGO. Like, it's tempting to get out now and just see what happens, but look at Liliana the Veil. Like, it's $42 too on MTGO, which is crazy.
Just wait till rotation for her. You'll be able to pick her up for about $25, $30
at the rate. Maybe not. I've heard that with Modern Masters, if it sparks all its interest in Modern, there won't be such a drop off on Modern cards this year. But I think, you know, get out now is what you're saying, right? On Innistrad block, seems like get out early.
Not necessarily yet. You can still wait till closer to the rotation.
Ah man, see, this is where I disagree with you this time. I think a lot of the cards are already dropping. I mean, you look at Craterhoof. That card's
you're looking at a lot of cards.
That's like Craterhoof coming off of like it was huge for a little bit, and then like people found other ways to use that deck.
Yeah, Maddie, that just happens to be a standard rotation where the standard meta takes and, you know, it fluxes and does, this is the new deck of the week, yada yada, whatever.
I actually did learn something from that whole selling out zombie.
Yeah, goddammit, Kevin, quit making sense.
Actually, you know what, Kevin, that you'd be really happy. I got crushed this morning by this all red deck. So there's a new red deck in standard.
Well, by this morning, do you mean? Oh no, it's not. It's a new red deck. Like last night, I was actually crushing shit. I finally played Moto in the first time in fucking forever, and I was actually crushing some shit last night. Oh, so I was thinking maybe that was me, but I'm assuming if you saw Kevin Metal, you would at least said hi.
I would for sure. No, I this morning I was just jumping on. I played this guy. He is this like super fast one drop red deck. Man, just very hard to beat. I definitely can see if red gets anything in M14 that's juicy just to finish off stuff.
Is this modern or standard?
No, this is standard, man.
Yeah.
With some horrible cards. You're like, these are garbage, but they're kicking ass. With that Fire Fist Striker and that freaking, what's that goblin that lets you block tokens? Legion Loyalist. And some other shit.
Goblin?
Yeah, no, it's Legion Loyalist. But yeah, it's surprising. Hopefully we'll see the metagame evolve a little bit here. I'm very curious to see what happens.
Hopefully we'll see the metagame evolve to like mono red so that like all you guys can just feel my pain.
Well, if you look at it, how do you beat like these Aetherling decks that just eventually you can't let the game run long. That's how you have
to go fast.
Yeah, you have to, right? That's how you beat rights too, like some of the junk rights decks.
Go fast or go home.
Get them by turn four, you're dead. Don't even play to anything after turn four. That's your one hope. But then that's where like voice kind of tries to work in there, and very interesting stuff. But damn, Pillar of Flame, I hate you. that's what I say.
Shit.
Everybody's main decking that bitch now. but yeah, that's kind of where I see things. What do you think, Ferret? Is there anything financial that you should be watching out for right now? Yeah.
Well, I know some people are going to be telling me that I'm kind of nuts, but after when Modern Masters hits and it gets released here, since it's only a 2-week set, wait until 1 week in, buy anything you want out of that set.
Yeah, I agree with that. Cause that'll be it. That'll be the
like, I was looking just recently here at the Sword of Fire and Ice, or what was it? Fire and Ice and Light and Shadow.
Yep.
Those things are ridiculously cheap. They're the cheapest I've pretty much ever seen them.
Yeah, they're at what, $8 a piece right now?
Sword of Light. Light and Shadow is at 12. Sword of Fire and Ice is a little lower like because it had a promo, which is at
7.2, yeah.
Yeah, well, I'm looking at 6.6.
Oh, okay, well, there you go. I would buy that then. If it's at $6, I'd buy it now.
Yeah, Fire and Ice is actually one of the better.
So now, do you think what everyone's doing right now, which is jumping in on lands, so get your modern land base now, is correct?
Well, I know in paper, for example, your Zendikar Fetchlands, people have been buying the fuck out of them. In fact, Star City Games is completely and utterly out of Scalding Tarn, I think it is.
Yeah, but they were at 26, 27 they were going for now.
50 now.
$50 for a non-foil.
At 50.
Holy fuck.
Jesus.
Okay, to give you an idea, on MTGO, Scalding Tarn is
$6.
14. No.
Oh, it went up to 14? Well, okay, well, here's the next question then is, Marcel and I agree that now is the time to get in your shocks, because they are all about, well, except for Temple Garden and frickin' Stomping Ground, they're all about three tickets and under.
Yeah, the shocks are only going to be going up from here.
Right,
and,
so.
And here's the thing, though,
paper. Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
Okay. I was going to say, so everybody doesn't fucking dogpile me for saying this, okay? Think of them as, like, a CD at a bank or some shit. The money's going to be there, okay? It may not take and be double or triple tomorrow, but it's going to happen. Within a year, the cards will be worth, you know, $4 or $5 each.
Maybe even more. You know what? Exactly. Like, look at this call. Deathrite Shaman is $6.17 currently. It was two tickets when we were telling you to buy them. We told you exactly when the end of Return to Ravnica hit. When Dragon's Maze hits, that's when it will be about $6. It's $6. So we were dead on. Like, you just have to be patient. You can't have this, like, turn it around, sell in a week mentality. Like, if you're playing the game.
You mean like me?
Yeah, exactly, right? No, but like Marcel said, you buy 20 of them, you stick them away, maybe in 2 years, you cash out, you'll buy a whole set for free. Like, if you want to do that type of thing. I just want to complete my playsets so I can have them, because I want to play Modern. So that's kind of where we see that stuff.
Another possible card to buy, Thoughtseize, due to the simple fact that it isn't in Modern Masters. And it is a staple.
Yeah, so I have plenty of Thoughtseizes to sell as well if people are interested.
Well, I'm just saying, you know, the fact of the matter is it's a staple, and Modern is becoming more popular.
Yeah, I don't even own Thoughtseizes in paper or
they're, what, 60 in paper?
Oh, fuck, are they really?
Yeah, they're like $60 a paper. They're only 34 online. I see online still has room to continue to grow, so I really hate that, but I could see them be a $50 card online as well over time.
Fuck. Theros once reprint, again, please.
Yeah, I was going to say, if it doesn't get any reprints in any standard sets, which I don't think it will, but...
Here's one that's surprising the shit out of me. Obsidian Ghost Council, which was like $18, is now 9 tickets. It's just fallen off, and I'm like,
it's not seen play.
Yeah, but it's such a good card. It's crazy. I'm wondering if it's bad, man. I don't know. I'm wondering, like, what's going on with that. I see that card as it's got to come back, man. It's just too good. So I'd be buying in.
Yeah. Here, let's see. What else would be a good card to get? Noble Hierarch was not reprinted as well, correct?
Nope.
Okay. So
you can get that one. Lotus Cobra is also at historic lows on MTGO 4.5.
Yeah, but he hasn't seen really any play at all.
Yeah,
I mean, in Noble Hierarch, it doesn't see as much play as it did, but it still is kind of a semi-staple card. When you think of Modern, you do think of that being one of the...
Yeah, that's true. I mean, every time I brew green, I'm in. Like, four of them every time. It's just good. I don't know. I mean, those are some of the things we're seeing. I'd still say
just go buy Lightning Bolts and Goblin Guides and fuck them all.
So I mean, here's where I think a lot of people made a mistake too with Siren Insanity. The thing's like 90 cents on MTGO. Like, I guess that was, you know, oh my God, it's going to be the best fucking card, and then it just went nowhere.
Well, what happened is a lot of people have started learning how to not play around it, but play around it in the meta, if that makes sense. They're starting to actually make decks that can compete and deal with that.
Well, you know what? I funny enough, you've seen the new Junk Slime list where all they do is Unbarrowite Slime. And you saw that in the Pro Tour and that where they kick your ass. Or it wasn't the Pro Tour. It was Star City Weekend. But a buddy of mine, he's like, you know what? Screw Slime. He does that with Siren Sanity. And that is so superior to Slime. Because it's like, fuck. All you got to do is get me once. And I'm done. Like, it's the momentum's gone. And he can do it on turn 4 consistently. Like, ugh. So don't – anyone who's listening to this, do not make that strategy because I do not want to play that. It's fucking the most – it makes you want to cry on turn 4, you know, like, oh, I got to dump my hand. What the fuck?
And then you got to take and hope that you can top deck a fucking Dreadboard to kill it.
It never happens. It never happens. It's like you're fucking gone. But I don't know. So that's kind of, I guess, where we'll end the episode where we think, you know, things are going, guys. And I don't know. I don't think I have anything else.
I think there. I just think Goblin Guides. That's it. Just buy them. Goblin Guides, Lightning Bolt.
Goblin Guide sucks balls, man.
Dude, kidding me? Goblin Guide is one of the greatest cards ever printed, except for fucking Lightning Bolt.
Big Bolt.
Sorry. Heavy, I'm surprised you're not trying to make a Varlaz deck that uses fucking the devil that the 4 damage if you sacrifice.
Vexing Devil?
Yeah, Vexing Devil.
Yeah, why? Like, how
much? All of us had too much to drink. I mean, shit, you and Jack.
That's the primary reason I actually haven't been saying anything about Modern Masters. I'm about to fall out of the chair here.
Hey, Jack. Oh, yeah.
Both of you, shot now.
No, they're gonna. They won't.
Yes, Jack. I will beat you to the kitchen.
They won't. They won't make shoutouts if we keep getting on the chair.
No. Where the fuck? Oh, hold on.
My inability to comment has driven me to drink for this episode.
It's in the freezer.
It's in the freezer. All right. Well, I'm gonna start shoutouts because
before you start shoutouts,
motherfucker.
Jack,
you
shot.
Yes, sir. Hold on.
Here we go. 1, 2, 3.
Try not to hit the desk.
Yeah, don't knock yourself out, you bastards. Okay, so I'm starting shoutouts. So shout out to my doctor for saving my fucking life because he's fucking awesome. And
on that shout out because we couldn't do this cast without.
Yeah, and shout out to him for not getting the undying joke, because I remember lying back down going, man, this guy's fucking an idiot. He didn't get that. But I was probably high on shit there.
It would have been priceless, though, if he would have said, no, not undying. You're just persistent.
If he did, I was hoping. It was one of those, like, MTG tests, you know, where you're like, does this guy get this? But he didn't get it. Yeah, it was bad. And shout out to Ben Clinton, shout out, sir. I don't know what's going on, but Heavy Meta's here. So hope things. Yeah, man, we love you, bro. And shout out to all the guys going to Vegas: Durf, Rye, Jagger, freaking Team Orange, man. Everybody is gonna be sickening. We're gonna have a fucking blast.
No, it's not.
Yeah,
no,
is Robot going?
I don't know. Is Robot going? Is fucking Robot Lars going? This is gonna be insane.
I don't know if he's going or not. I don't think he is.
That would be horrible. Well,
Robot gets like, shut out anyway. Voice
and all that shit.
Well, fuck, man. Robot's got to come now. Robot, get on that shit.
You got to get on it. It's going to be like, your flight's going to be ridiculous.
Someone Google Earth right now over Vegas, and we'll see if his cock is already there.
Yeah, no shit.
So that's my shout-outs, man. Fuck, you guys are awesome. Thanks again for Heavy Med SUV, for all the well wishes. You guys are fucking sick. And, man, we're gonna try and do our best.
I'm gonna shout out you three motherfuckers because you're all awesome.
Yes,
Jack for showing up, Kevy, Matt, you know, because the show wouldn't be the show without you two. I'm gonna shout out.
It would just be ferret fucking talking.
Yeah, that does not work out too well. We've tried this before.
Oh man, another order. Fuck, you guys are.
Yeah, right.
Hey guys, I'll be right back. I got an order to fill.
Yeah.
20 minutes of dead space, and then he comes back. Oh, hey. So, anyway, what I was saying was,
and you know what? I got a shout out. So, shout out to Chewy and fucking MGG Cast, because I know you guys got shit on hard. So, shout out to you guys for
You
guys take way hard in the goddamn teeth. And like, I just want to say personally, a big thank you to all of our content producers who take time out of their life every week to bring very high quality, well, I won't say that, very entertaining material to us every single week. Regardless of what your opinion was on the things that have been going on in the previous weeks, we greatly appreciate everything you do. And please, please, please don't feel like your family has stabbed you in the back, because it's anything but.
Yeah, well, I think we've clearly stated
that there may be some sister fucking going on.
Yeah, we can't guarantee that.
But we'll
still respect you in the morning.
We'll still look at you and breakfast you in the morning. Sister fucking.
Yeah, exactly. If she's hot, you're all good. But I think we clearly stated what happened. So if anyone still has an issue, then you got fucking issues. Like, it is what it is. You know, either you choose one direction or you don't. That's, you know, who cares, man? Things will go on. And it is what it is. And, you know, in all honesty, like, you know, there's a lot of good guys over there. It sucks that they chose Quiet Speculation. So anti-shout out to them, because I think they're the problem. And if it was any other thing besides them, there wouldn't be a fucking problem. So sorry, but that's the way I feel. So shout out to you, Chewy, because you're doing good. Keep it up, man.
Shout out to our significant others, because without them, we would be much angrier men.
I love Jeremy's like, ah, oh, fuck. Yeah, no, serious shout out to our significant others, because.
No, like, don't get me wrong. It's not like an ah, oh, fuck towards my fucking fiance. It's just like, ah, oh, fuck. Ferret, really? You're going to do that?
Well, yeah, I'm going to do that, because you got to think about it. They're the ones that actually keep us alive in most cases and actually let us do the shit.
No, they just keep us laid.
shout out to kids. Kids are cool.
Oh, kids are fucking awesome.
No, 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 no. I don't know. I'm kind of still on the other edge of that one. I'm thinking, Kevy, are you with me on this one?
What? No way, man. Kids.
The kids are evil.
No, kids aren't evil. They're fucking the best.
No, Brody's screaming at me right now.
Get off cast, daddy.
No, hey, Brody's screaming. It was like, I literally muted my mic like fucking tops like fucking 3 minutes ago. to go in there and hang out with Brody for a little bit. We've got his movie started again, but now he's pissed off because he's at that age where he's just like, if I don't have your attention,
then the
world is ending!
Yeah. That's like my kids, man. Like, they love, like, you know what's hilarious? I have an entire toy room, and like, I sit here with them, and I'm like, when I was a kid, I had nothing. I had a bucket and a bunch of blocks in it. Like, to me, I'm like, this is heaven. And they look at me, they're like, yeah, but if you're not here, then they're just toys. And you're your heart is like, oh, that's so sweet. But I'm like, but this is, all these toys are pretty cool too, you know? So can you fucking play with them? Because I'm
as soon as you start paying attention, they're like, well, I don't really care. Like, I just wanted you to know that, like, these cars are fucking awesome. Like, quick little fucking antidote to this tonight. I'll have to fucking Twitter you guys this picture or something. Like, fucking my kid is fucking full blown. Like, Brody is full blown obsessed with cars. Like, the movie cars. Just full blown obsessed. And cars in general, not like just the movie cars. Like, you know, as soon as he leaves the front door, he's like, cars, 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 cars. Starts pointing at all of them, fucking loses his shit. He loves cars, loves trucks, daddy's truck, mommy's car, you know, all this shit. So, tonight for dinner, he had these little, like, it's like the Campbell's soup, like chicken soup, but like cars shapes.
Nice.
And he was all stoked about it. And he just thought, cars, cars, noodles, cars, noodles, noodles, cars, noodles, cars, noodle car, new car, new car, new car, nicker, nicker. And I was just all, no, 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 no. It very quickly went from noodles, cars to nicker. And we're just all, no, 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 no. So Sarah and I are fucking freaking out. We're just all, no, no, cars, noodles, cars, noodles, cars, noodles. So It finally turned into, like, car snoodles, car snoodles, car snoodles. We're like, there's no way that could be a racist term. Like, we're good.
No, you need the funniest ever is when I lived in Cambridge, it's a small town. We had a fire station right around the corner, and my little kids would watch the fire trucks.
Oh.
Hold on. Oh, no, listen to this. We also lived right across the street from a church. And at 11 o'clock on Sundays, you know, we'd be sitting on the porch sometimes or in the garden, whatever. And, you know, all the people would come out and they would walk, like, literally right 10 feet from our front door, right down the street to their cars. So my little girl Ella's, like, playing on the thing. A church gets out. They're all like, all the old ladies love to touch. Oh, hi, Ella. You know, and rub her head, whatever, and all that shit. Fire truck goes by. This is what my kid says. Daddy, Chuck. And I'm like, no, it's a fire truck. She's like, fuck, fuck. That's fuck, daddy, fuck. And she starts she stands, like, literally stands up and is like, fuck, fuck, fuck. Daddy, I say fuck. And all the ladies from church are just like, oh, my God. And my wife is bolting from the back to pick the kid up and just like, okay, now we got to have naps. No, 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 we got to have naps. She picks her up, puts her on her shoulder, and she's like, I don't want to go. I just want to say fuck, fuck, fuck. And I literally, my face is red, eh? And the lady looks and she's like, oh, don't kids say the darndest things? And I'm like, yeah, I guess.
Maddie, I have one for you. Like, this is one of those, like, along the same lines, like, because I did the same thing when I was younger. Like, a truck was a fuck to me.
Yep.
And it hasn't changed at all. It's never going to change, you know? It's phonetics, man. That's how it goes. But, all right, now, let's delve into fucking Kevy's child. Childhood. There's a story that my grandma told me. Like, God rest her fucking soul.
God rest grandma. Shout out to grandma.
That my grandma told me over and over again because she thought it was fucking hilarious, but at the same time, like, inappropriate. Told me this story about as we were at McDonald's. I was probably no. In somewhat defense of my mother, like, my mom had me when she was 16. My mom is the reason I love Motley Crue. But my mom, when I was younger, was not around as much because she was still fucking
16 years old.
Yeah. We're at McDonald's. And my grandma's telling me this story about, like, has told me this story many times, which cracks me the fuck up. Like, for any of you out there that, like, think that this is just fucked up and terrible and fucking child abuse and whatever, like, you can eat a dick.
This is going to be the greatest story.
Because you're not me.
Oh, my God, this is awesome. Okay.
Because you're not me, and I'm proud to be me, and I'm way more stoked to be me than you. Anyway, so.
On a shirt. I'm way more stoked to be me than you.
So
I'm right there.
Apparently, when I'm like fucking like 2 years old, 3 years old, we're in McDonald's, and I fucking tear open the straw for my drink, and I go, Grandma, this is what my mom does with this straw. just fucking ram the straw up my
you
nose.
You did not.
No, I shit you not. I swear on everything that I have in my life. Like, that, well, I don't know for sure if that's what happened, but that's what my grandma has been telling me for years. Like, we're in McDonald's, and I fucking, like, I take the tear the paper off the fucking straw, bury it in my nose. I'm like, Grandma, this is what my mom does with a straw. And fucking, and it was all... It, like later on,
did you also say Uncle Escobar, bring me white powder?
No, like years later, I was like my grandma tells me this story for like the fucking 10th time. She, when I was a little kid, she thought it was funny, and I didn't understand what it was. And then years later, I'm like, oh,
that's yeah, what that
is. That's my mom. So, yeah, this is what you guys are dealing with. This is heavy metal in it, at its finest.
That's apparently awesome.
Apparently my mom was a cokehead. Right on.
And on that note, Kevin, just fucking send us home.
Go fuck yourselves, San Diego!
'Cause that's how you end an episode on a childhood cocaine story. You know that's classic right there. Just
wait. Oh. Heavy Metal is also encouraging all of you to seek social services if necessary.
Yes, as a public. Wait, Jack, we're running a sponsored 30-second ad for cocaine addiction.
Have you ever been impacted by the
Yes.
You know, actually, if you look at it, that particular cast came full circles, because instead of smuggling drugs, we were trying to talk about smuggling ferrets up your ass and then ending the cast on drugs.
Sounds like a good cast.
I'm dreaming of
You're not Scotty Mac.
Yeah, I was gonna say, like, if the A-team can do karaoke.
No, fuck it. You're not Scotty Mac. Don't even try. Stop it right now.
Oh, wait, guys.
There's nothing even a part of me that could ever be Scotty Mac. That motherfucker is amazing.
Okay, Jack, what is it? End it.
I'm stubborn enough to think of it. I would just like to say MTG Cast will no longer be sponsoring Heavy Meta because clearly we keep a PG-13 atmosphere around here. So, sorry, guys. Adios.
Did we get kicked off of fucking MTG Cast? Because, like...
Oh, you fucking bastard. He waited to the end of the episode. Fuck you, Jack.
He
did it to us. He fired us at the end of our own fucking episode. You brilliant motherfucker. You brilliant.
Let's commemorate this.
Oh, no, that's okay, though, because...
We just got fired from MTG Cast. So, Jack.
Yes.
LaCroix.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Cool. I was getting fired.